Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Tuesday, good morning. Here we are. Yay! Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday, and I just wanted to annoy you right off. Today we've got a lot of good stuff. We've got the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda. I got Mark Riley here.
Hey!
I was on the McEnroe show yesterday.
Yeah. What's going on with you and my wife, pal?
What is that?
My wife leaves a note saying, I saw Mark Maron on John McEnroe last night. Every time I turn around, a Sprint commercial, Conan, McEnroe, what the hell's next?
I don't know, dude. That's in the house. I've not had any contact at all with your wife about any of this.
I'm not so sure.
Oh, my God. No, McEnroe, I was on, the show is, it's gonna take some, growing up, that show, but, we had a good time. He's an alright guy. You know, it's funny, he had me, Christina Van de Hervel, editor of The Nation,
okay,
was on. She's a really sweet woman. And it was just funny, is that he had, and I did some stand-up, man. I went over the top, man. I laid it out. You know what I mean? I did the real deal. And, afterwards, cause I thought, it's McEnroe, man. Well, McEnroe's out there. He's an ass kicker. He's going to take some stands. He's going to be sort of angry. So I went out and did stuff that I wouldn't have done on network. You know, I was real critical of Bush. I did a little sort of, you know, a Christian right, a little, you know. Mm-hmm. I was critical of Bush, and it was hardcore. It was real stand-up. And McEnroe comes up to me afterwards. He's like, wow, you really went for it. I'm like, yeah, I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, of course I went for it. But he seemed a little nervous about it, you know?
Really?
Yeah. And then, like, he started asking questions about Air America. Like, they didn't produce a segment at all. He was sort of like, so how you guys doing? You guys still got money? Are you guys on the air still? I'm like, dude, what do I look like? I don't run the network. Yeah, I'm getting a paycheck. We just picked up a station in Florida. Hi, Mom. Are you listening, Mom? My mom's like, I don't know if my car radio, is it just on the regular car radio I can get the station now? Yeah, hopefully she picked it up. And then, but the funny thing was, this is exactly how it works. Here's the beautiful thing. I'm doing this stuff. I'm doing good with the audience. I'm getting applause breaks. I'm really great kind of lefty stuff. And there's one Republican in there. Just one guy going, It's such a beautiful turn of events, man, because 2 years ago, you know what I mean, it would have been like, hey, shut up, get off. They would have felt vindicated in, you know, terrorizing me because of, you know, the tone of the country. But now it's just one fat guy like,
Did you have him removed?
No, man. I was like, how does that feel? Huh? How does it feel to be the only one? Listening to people clap, listening to people realize that this president is lying. Listen to me, I'm doing it now, Franken, sorry. Listen, you know, just realizing. I don't even listen to Al that much, but there's something sort of contagious about that. But this guy, the tone of the country, even in this poll today, the CNN USA Today Gallup poll, finds 55% of Americans feel less safe from terror because of the war in Iraq. This is such an amazing thing that the instinct of the populace is now starting to turn on this president. It's a great thing because the guy's got nothing, Mark. He's got nothing. And we're seeing that in today's news. We're going to hit it a lot today.
Well, he's got one thing. He's got denial. He's got the idea that if you go out and tell everybody that white is black and up is down, some people will believe you.
Yeah.
He got up in Tennessee yesterday. And I guess, you know, Tennessee, he took the state in 2000. I guess maybe he thought he was among friends or something. He says that the war in Iraq has made America safer. He spoke for the first time since that Senate report that criticized the intelligence run-up to the war. And, you know, Mark, I don't even want to lead this in. I just want to play this little bit of Bush so people understand exactly how far out of the mainstream our president actually is.
Although we have not found stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction, we were right to go into Iraq.
Why? Why?
We removed a declared enemy of America.
Osama?
No.
Who had the capability of producing weapons of mass murder.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah.
And could have passed that capability to terrorists bent on acquiring them.
Well, that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the world after September the 11th, that was a risk we could not afford to take.
So you made this mistake.
Mm-hmm. Today, the dictator who caused decades of death and turmoil.
That we supported once.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who twice invaded his neighbors.
Once at our behest.
Uh-huh.
Who harbored terrorist leaders.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Who used chemical weapons on innocent men, women, and children.
Right.
Is finally before the bar of justice.
Hmm. So that's our president.
It's brain bending to me that he can make those statements. I mean, it's never been less safe. I mean, here's the big question, Mark, is that after all this stuff going down with the CIA and he comes out and says the world is safer, where is he getting his intelligence? I mean, you know what I mean? Where is he getting that information? All information that comes out of any sort of survey or any sort of assessment of the planet says that it's not safer. And if there were terrorists, like he says that there were, Saddam Hussein was hiding terrorist leaders. He wasn't. Those were outdated terrorist leaders. Now all the modern terrorist leaders are in Iraq, working out of there. They're mm-hmm. sending people into Saudi Arabia. They're dispatching people to Europe. The insurgency is stronger than it ever was. He's destabilized the entire region. Israel doesn't even think, Israel thinks it's a lost cause.
Yeah.
And this guy gets on TV in America and says, the world is safe. What is it like? Does he think that the TV has some strange hypnotizing power? It does, but not that strong.
Look, he didn't just say it once. During the course of that speech, which, by the way, was at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee, he said America is safer 8 different times. Count them. 8 times. Now, how is it that the administration, some of his own people,
yeah,
Monday, that was yesterday, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Monday, said that Osama bin Laden is planning a terror attack inside the United States. Now, if we're so safe,
yeah,
how come his own people are saying that this guy is planning a terror attack, and they got apparently no way to stop him.
Right, yeah. It's much safer, but be careful, because the guy that I was supposed to kill a while ago, the reason we went into Afghanistan was a failure. So be careful. But it's safer. It's safer. Just keep your eyes open, because they're planning something big.
Well, this is the same Osama bin Laden, by the way, that America might have caught at Tora Bora. But as John Kerry very correctly points out, we left that to the Afghans, and obviously they didn't do it.
Yeah, that's the way this went. It's like, you guys got this covered because we got to go over there because we can. We got to go to Iraq because we can. We can do it right now.
Yeah, and I mean, really, when you think about it, that's about the only specific link you got between Saddam and Osama bin Laden. And at this point, George W. Bush isn't about addressing that anytime soon. Kerry, on the other hand, says that he and John Edwards will do a better job than this administration in fighting terror.
I believe John and I can fight a more thoughtful and more effective war on terror that brings nations to our side and shares the risks and shares the burdens and shares the costs, so America doesn't go it alone.
I'll tell you something, man. I was sitting in the green room over at CNBC, and I saw the feed for that entire speech that mm-hmm. pulled from. And I have not seen John Kerry give an entire speech because, you know, we're not seeing that yet.
We're seeing clips.
Yeah, just clips and sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the entire speech and I focused on it. I told everyone in the green room to shut up.
Even Dick Morris?
No. No, this is the funny thing is that, you know, McEnroe had me and Christine on. You know, pretty liberal force. And then the last segment was competitive eating. These two guys who sat there and ate hot dogs. They had it like, and you should have heard the conversation because these guys think that they're part of a real sport.
Not that Japanese guy.
No. It was two American guys. I forget the guy's name. He had a nickname that he said his name was. But they were sitting there having these conversations. Like, did you hear John broke the ice cream record? Like literally that. You know, they were in training. It was hilarious. And then when I said, this is hilarious, I never thought I'd be hearing this. And they looked at me like, what's the matter? This is the sport that we've chosen. Like,
that's right.
But anyways, so Kerry also said, I propose an ambitious and aggressive plan for dramatically reducing the threats from nuclear terrorism. We will greatly accelerate work to secure nuclear materials at risk and invest the time and leadership needed to address the nuclear threats in North Korea and Iran. I will appoint a national director of intelligence so that there is one individual with responsibility and accountability for intelligence operations. I watched that entire speech and it moved me. I mean, literally, I was excited because I believed in the guy. And there was actually a moment where a little tear welled up. I'll tell you more about it after the break.
Definitely.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states. So call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Hey, what's going on? We're having a little trouble in the control house.
Ghost in the machine.
A little trouble in the control house with the big fancy system. So we're back on the air and we're talking about
attention, students.
There we go.
Oh.
It's exciting. Now we're fighting with the computer.
We'll wrestle it to the ground.
I don't know why, that because there was a minor crisis, I went into weird radio voice. Did you hear me? Oh, my God, there's a problem here in the control room.
Yes. So we're coming up on the... Oh, no, that's right. That won't be till Thursday.
So I'm watching Carrie.
Yes.
And, you know, I locked in. I was checking the performance. Now, you know, he's got a slow build, okay? But it's not because he's boring or anything else. What I realize when I'm watching him is that you've got a guy that, you know, is not afraid to put his heart out there and just be candid, but you got to listen to him and let him, you know, evolve at his pace. You know, we've got a president that really talks in sort of fractured sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
He's lucky if he hits a sound bite because he only talks a few words at a time. He's not very good at executing long things. He stutters, and every once in a while he'll get a sound bite out there that'll make some sense or that'll at least have an effect. But Kerry actually talks. You know, he's an orator.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a nice build, and by the time he was saying the positive things like, America, we can do it, and he's doing his taglines and stuff, I was genuinely, you know, moved. I let myself be moved, but, you know, that's not hard for me. I'm a guy that, you know, I'll cry at a commercial. But I was excited to walk away from it saying, you know what, I really am excited about this guy. You know, he touched me with his oratory skills, and I believe what he's saying, and I was excited to have that feeling. I think that the Edwards addition has really, you know, sort of energized him in a lot of ways. It's got to be a tremendous relief, you know, to, like, get that, you know, out of the way now, you know, to make that choice and say, look, here people are much, you know, the approval rating's up over 50. He's ahead of Bush by a lot since he chose Edwards. The country is comfortable with his choice. And now I can, you know, put a little more time into making myself available out, you know, in front of the American people. And it was very effective.
Well, you know, he also now is beginning to realize that more and more Americans are paying attention to this race. This race really is garnering attention that was unheard of just 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the original Bush-Gore race did not engender this kind of interest. And obviously the war in Iraq and a lot of other things have played a role in that, but people are starting to pay attention to John Kerry now, where I really believe that after March 3rd, the day after Super Tuesday, when he kind of more or less sewed up the nomination, people kind of tuned out, you know, they kind of zoned out on him for a while.
Well, I think also that, you know, the Republicans are playing on the fact that the media attention is pretty limited. You know, I guess up until the convention, and certainly when the debates happen, there's going to be a lot more attention on Kerry and what he's saying. But for him to get, you know, full airtime, you've really got to go to C-SPAN or catch a feed like I did, or you're only going to get fragments. So when people say, we don't really know him, it's because you're not getting him. You're not getting the full effect. You're not getting the full Kerry effect.
This is Morning Sedition. Mark Maron, Mark Riley, here on Air America Radio.
Yeah.
It's called a reset.
Right on. Here we are.
Here we are.
So as I was saying,
yes,
Kerry moved me. Did a lot of the people out there in the big world not hear all that because
they didn't
of the
hear all that because of part of the problems? But no, I think it's important Because, you know, remember when we first went on this network, Mark, I was hearing from people, you know, I'm not really feeling John Kerry. This was two months ago.
There wasn't, how could you feel him? There was not, we didn't have access. That's what blew me away is I'm watching him in this green room. I'm watching him do a, you know, 15-minute piece. You know, his riff, his presentation. And I'm like, why aren't we seeing this every day? Why aren't we seeing him do this? This is his speech. You know, why haven't I seen it? And I'm here, like, in this stuff up to my neck every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I was saying before, I'm just thrilled that, you know, it had an effect on me. And then I watched Crossfire later. I watched Ralph Nader kick some ass. And, you know, what's that guy's name? Begala?
Paul Begala.
He pissed me off.
Really?
You know, and so did and Novak. Like, Nader shut Novak down. It was beautiful because Nader, you know, has nothing to hide. And, you know, Novak's trying to pick at him, and he basically was just like, shut up. You know you're wrong. You know, and I'm not going to even play games with you. And Begala, who you would think would just say, Ralph, why don't you work with the Democratic Party? Why don't you help them integrate some of your ideas into their platform? Was sort of like, why are you taking Republican money? Why are you taking Republican money? Why are you taking Republican money? It's like, why don't you just, you know, why don't you just talk to him, for God's sakes?
Yeah, man. Now, look, let me tell you something about John Kerry, and I'm starting to realize, you know, you look at an individual who is, he's 60 years old, okay? Unlike Madonna, he can't reinvent himself, I think, for the purposes of this campaign. And what I think we're seeing, Mark, and I think you're seeing it in watching him very closely, is John Kerry being more comfortable with projecting himself as he actually is. Somebody said something I thought was really profound on the air with us the other day when they said he is what he is.
Yeah.
You can't change who this man is. You can't make his sound bites sound different than the way he puts them out.
More sound bitier.
Yeah, more sound bitier, more media friendly, more, you know. We live in an age of extraordinary media consumption outside the political realm. And all of this stuff plays a role. If you sit and look at a commercial, any regular commercial, and you see how many times the images change, and then compare that with campaign ads, and how many times those images change. You start to realize that politics is just now starting to catch up with the rest of the country in terms of the way they are putting stuff out to people. And to some extent, it works to the detriment of a guy like John Kerry, who's thoughtful, who doesn't, you know,
that's
necessarily
exactly
jump the first thing
that's
out of his
exactly
head,
it
doesn't think in 30-second bites, but thinks in policy, thinks in whole ideas. Media is not really made to project that from people. But Kerry is starting to break through. The pick of Edwards was smart because Edwards can take those little compartmentalize those little ideas that Kerry has and project them out there in a faster, more passionate, more soundbite friendly way than Kerry.
Yeah, but they both have that sort of organic, authentic, sort of thoughtful disposition, very human disposition. Like, you know, if you watch Bush, you know, I can see his humanity, and it's frightening because he really seems, you know, too present, you know, in the wrong way. Like, you know, he's looking for approval more than he's looking to say something that has, you know, anything thoughtful in its content.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He gets very filled with himself very quickly. There's an arrogance he projects. That the human side of George Bush is bungling and arrogant. Where I watched Kerry, and as you were saying, that this is a guy that deliberates stuff. This is a politician who has, you know, fought for some pretty decent stuff in the Senate, and he's, you know, been around a long time, and he has a very elder statesman kind of disposition, but he thinks about stuff. When you talk about Kerry, you're talking about a guy who's had to weigh things morally for himself because of what happened to him in Vietnam, because of the experience he's had in dealing with people as an attorney, because of his lifetime in politics. He knows how to deliberate, and he knows his own personal struggle, and he brings it to the table. Just because it doesn't operate at the pace of television, you know, people might have to just sit down and listen to him at the pace of human. You know, we're all sort of, and I find myself doing that too, you know. I'll listen to him talk. Like yesterday I was in the room, and I'm like, all right, let's pick it up. Come on, buddy. Hit a punchline. And then I realized, dude, you know, take it easy. You know, he's going to be all right. You don't need to hold him to the same speed of technology in some respects.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's better that we got a guy that actually, you know, I pictured him in the Oval Office, you know, being, you know, at a press briefing or at a briefing with his cabinet, where you got a guy that would really take a second and think about, you know, what's being presented. not be guided by his cabinet, or even like Clinton would be, you know, two steps ahead of his cabinet.
His cabinet, yeah. You know? I think Kerry would ask some important questions. Here's a question people need to ask about what George Bush said yesterday.
Yeah.
Think about this for a minute. Here's a guy who gets up and gives a speech all about how the world is safer, he made the world safer, and why he was justified in going into Iraq. You know what you didn't hear out of George W. Bush yesterday?
What?
Any plan whatsoever for getting out.
Well, you know, Mark, that's a great point because, first of all, there's no indication that there's any safety anywhere in the world in terms of him making anything safer.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when you look at Iraq, especially after we read that Cy Hirsch piece the other day, the Plan B, is that clearly there is no safe escape strategy, that they are in a quagmire that really is a sucking quagmire. It's not, there's no way for them to leave and effectively, you know, achieve stability in the region, to the point where the Israelis believe that, you know, it's unwinnable on behalf of the Americans.
On behalf of the Americans, yet this guy can still get up with a straight face and say, hey, we did the right thing. We deposed Saddam Hussein.
But he doesn't
say, and now what? Or this is what we're going to do next. Or he didn't even have guts enough to say, we're going to get the insurgents. He didn't say that.
Or Osama. I mean, you know, it's really what that indicates to me, because this is old news. This speech could have happened 2 months ago, could have happened 6 months
ago.
And it just goes to show me that he's really got nothing.
Yep.
And, you know, they're like, Cheney's out there insisting that there was a connection between al-Qaeda and Iraq. He's out there insisting that the world is safer. And every bit of information that we get, you know, points otherwise.
Now, let's look at something real simple. He says we're safer. At the same time, he's saying that congressional investigators are saying our color-coded threat warning system is too vague, too confusing, and it is, in fact, played out.
It's meaningless.
You know?
It's meaningless. The color system is meaningless. Because even here in New York, when we live in a city as intensely populated as New York, you know what I mean, which is really where we should have some effective warning system, and you ask people what the alert is, they don't know. If it goes up to orange, do they act differently? Yeah, maybe they change the expression on their face. I will look twice at people on the subway, but they're going to be doing that anyways. I'm doing it. I think everybody's a little wary. If I see a bag, I think that's just common sense. You see a bag sitting there that doesn't have a person around it, say something. That always freaks me out. You know, but you know, ultimately, it's going to become like Israel in the sense that they just have a heightened awareness, and that's it. The alert system in this country for people in the middle of the country, like, you know, in a small town in Iowa or wherever, you know, it's like, do you see anything weird? They would know because there'd be a stranger in town.
Absolutely. Coming up, Salon.com contributor and staff writer for the WashingtonPost.com, Jefferson Morley, joins us. Talk about a very interesting story that's bubbling under the news. Also, the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda, and more here on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush continues to justify his reasons for war in Iraq. For those who will listen and believe, the president said war against Saddam Hussein made America safer. A new poll says most Americans this morning don't think so. At least one explosion in central Baghdad early today appears to have caused by hand grenades tossed at the U.S. patrol. Several others that followed in the capital this morning created this huge cloud of dust in the so-called green zone. Iraq's interim president has issued a stern warning to the insurgents responsible for the killing of hundreds of Iraqis. President Ghazi al-Yawar said the new government promises to use a very sharp sword against anyone threatening the country's security. And close to 200 women serving in the armed forces in the Middle East say they have been sexually assaulted by fellow soldiers in the past 21 months, but reports say the current military laws make prosecution real difficult. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Look, kid, are you sure you want me to tattoo Air America Radio onto your forehead?
Yes, I do.
Stop! Don't let this happen to you. Now you can let people know you're an Air America listener without painfully disfiguring yourself. Log on to airamericaradio.com and click on our Get the Gear banner for t-shirts, hats, boxer shorts, barbecue aprons, and more.
Ow! What's that address again?
That's airamericaradio.com, where the air...
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Oh, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
The Majority Report.
Wages grew more slowly in June than they had at any previous point this year. Not only can you not get a job, you can't get a job that pays any.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Bush tried to put a nice spin on it. We've had a total of 1.5 million new jobs since last August. Except if you look at it month to month, what you're now seeing is negative growth.
He's modeling the growth on the growth of a planner's wort, which, as you know, grows in a cone upward. It's a negative growth, and it's painful.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Groovy, man. Groovy. Tuesday morning, I'm with Mark Riley. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition.
Good morning!
We're riffing it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Having a conversation. Are we safer? We're going to, as the morning goes on, I'm going to bring up, you know, maybe we'll both bring up, we'll alternate, just how unsafe we are globally. We've got a list of areas in which, you know, would certainly contradict our president, who is... I think having psychological problems. I think he's in deep denial. I think he's, you know, I think, you know, we should be concerned about the mental health of the administration because they are out to lunch.
Do you think you might be able to share the phone number of your therapist with our commander in chief?
I don't know. I don't even know if it'll help. All I can do is, you know, reach out. You know, but no recovery corner today. Maybe we might have to do an emergency recovery corner. I got the presidential palm pilot for my buddy Joey, a.k.a. Ramon. 8:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Americans are safer than ever. Have Secret Service initiate access sequence to breakfast bunker. 9:30 a.m. Don't speak at NAACP convention. That was easy. 9:55 a.m. Sign H.R. 4103, the AGOA Acceleration Act of 2004. Don't ask. Just sign it. Could be important. 11:15 a.m. Depart White House for Michigan. Fly over NAACP convention in Philadelphia. Taunt them from 20,000 feet with Black Power salute. 1:45 p.m. Speak in Marquette, Michigan. Why are the swing states so the smelly ones? 3:30 p.m. There might be just enough time to pop over to Philadelphia to speak to the NAACP convention. Nah. 6 p.m. Rally in Duluth, Minnesota. Notes for speech. Quote, in the words of your native son, Prince, I knew a girl named Nikki. I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine. Hey, who wrote this? 8 p.m., fly back to Washington. Campaign speeches. 2, speeches to NAACP. 0. 10 p.m., bedtime. We're safer than ever. Initiate entry sequence to secure sleeping bunker. Say goodnight to guards.
Wow. Could you imagine if he had tried to do the We're Safer speech to the NAACP convention?
Oh, my God.
That would have been cute.
We're safer. Okay, yeah. In May 2003, the U.S. released five Saudis from Guantanamo Bay into Saudi custody. 3 months later, the Saudis released 7 people from their jails. New information suggests the swap was a quid pro quo. Staff writer for WashingtonPost.com and Salon contributor Jefferson Morley is on the phone from Washington, D.C. to tell us about this. Refresh our memories, sir. What happened?
A year ago, the United States quietly announced that they were letting 5 Saudis go from Guantanamo.
Right, I remember.
They weren't identified. There was no explanation.
Right.
3 months later, 6 British men and a Belgian man were released from prison in Saudi Arabia. This was done with great fanfare in England. The men had been convicted in secret trials of espionage for Britain. So their release was taken as a great triumph for Tony Blair. Now it turns out that these 2 releases were actually related. They were the 2 ends of a deal between the United States and Saudi Arabia.
So no one had made the connection previous?
No. It was before they were understood to be totally separate incidents, and now it's clear there was an explicit trade of prisoners.
So is this suspect in some way?
Well, in a couple ways. I mean,
okay.
First of all, you see the administration bending this rhetorically tough counterterrorism policy and turning Al-Qaeda suspects, letting Al-Qaeda suspects go. This was done as a favor from Bush to Blair. This was Blair was in a lot of trouble, and the prospect of British citizens being decapitated by Saudi Arabia in the middle of an increasingly unpopular war was not something Blair wanted to go through.
It also shows that this relationship that, you know, certainly Craig Unger has fleshed out between the House of Saud and the Bush administration is much deeper and still very active.
This is the reality of it. Is behind the facade, this kind of horse trading, which understand that there was a real human price to be paid on one end.
Mm-hmm.
The Saudis were holding over Blair and the United States the prospect of executing several of these British men in jail. They were innocent. They had been tortured savagely and repeatedly, and their sentences had been increased from 18 years in jail to decapitation, to increase the pressure on the United States so that we would give up the people in Guantanamo. Essentially, the Saudis were holding hostages. We traded their Saudis to get our hostages back.
Jefferson Morley, how high up within the Saudi royal family or who in the Saudi government actually negotiated this? Was this a joint situation or was there one point person on the U.S. side and one person on the Saudi side?
On the Saudi side, it appears that Prince Nayef, the interior minister and one of the 3 most powerful men in Saudi Arabia, this was his gambit to placate public opinion in Saudi Arabia, which is very upset about all the Saudis who are held there. On the American end, the deal was clearly approved by Rumsfeld in the White House.
Now, is it true that one of these people may have been an Al-Qaeda supporter who didn't even cooperate with interrogators at Guantanamo?
My story, which appears in Salon today, identifies the 5 men. Their names actually had come out in the Saudi press at the time of the release, but nobody had ever brought this to the attention of the English-speaking world.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the 5 names now, and it turns out that one of them had a brother who gave an interview to a newspaper in Saudi Arabia and said, yeah, my brother was in Al-Qaeda. He was picked up in Afghanistan in late 2001. So we have a family member saying that one of the guys released was an Al-Qaeda fighter.
So this is like a complete, you know, indication that Bush is willing to bend his anti-terrorist, you know, policy to accommodate the 1 or 2 allies that we have.
Clearly.
That's
the essence of it. And we don't know what kind of involvement this guy had in Al-Qaeda, because the whole process at Guantanamo is completely hidden in obscurity and secrecy, but we do know that at least one person was freed from one Al-Qaeda fighter was freed from Guantanamo at George Bush's behest.
But this certainly plays into the hypocrisy of this administration in terms of some of the stuff that Craig Unger fleshed out, some of the stuff Michael Moore talks about, that when it comes to Saudis, we're completely willing to negotiate on different terms than with anybody else in the world.
Yes, the level of horse trading that goes on in this relationship, since the 2 countries don't really share very many values,
right?
All they share is interests. This kind of horse trading becomes the way that the relationship is run.
Now, is it true that they actually tried to renege on the deal at the very end?
Yes. What appears to be happening is the Saudis got out in May of 2003, and then the British men were never released. And so the Belgian Foreign Ministry started asking questions and went to the U.S. and said, hey, what happened to this agreement? Because they thought their one of their citizens was going to get out. What people involved think is that the Saudis were holding out for more. They were keeping the Brits as a bargaining chip to get more Saudis out of Guantanamo. And then finally in August, after some behind the scenes pressure, the Saudis gave up the seven Brits and they were allowed to go home.
Thank you very much. Good reporting, Jefferson. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
You take care. That was Jefferson Morley, salon contributor and also staff writer for TheWashingtonPost.com. We're going to be back and talk about how unsafe the world is here on Air America Radio.
All senior citizens should have Life Alert.
My life was on the line and they saved it. Thank God for Life Alert. I owe my life to it.
Senior citizens can live feeling protected at home rather than facing a retirement institution. Life Alert provides constant monitoring protection, which allows independent living in the comfort of home. For a free brochure, call 1-800-588-3133.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone, I realized that I had to do something, take better care of myself. Life Alert is there when I need them, and I feel I can depend on them.
If a senior has an emergency, help is immediately available at the touch of a button, even if the senior can't reach a phone. Life Alert Monitoring Center is on the line and links to local police, fire, and paramedics. For a free brochure that lists all the services and assistance available with Life Alert, call 1-800-588-3133 today. That's 1-800-588-3133. 1-800-588-3133.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Hey, it's fun with the board day. I've decided I don't use enough of these noises.
Boring.
Yeah, it's so easy to have fun, isn't it?
This is kind of stupid.
Yes, it is, but it's fun. Oh.
Blah, 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 blah.
There you go. Speaking of that, let me, I just want to read this quote. This is Bush. I mean, we played it, but I want to read the whole thing. Although we have not found stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction, we were right to go into Iraq.
Blah, 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 blah.
We removed a declared enemy of America who had the capability of producing weapons of mass murder and could have passed that capability to terrorists bent on acquiring them. In the world after September the 11th, that was a risk we could not afford to take. Today, the dictator that caused decades of death and turmoil, who twice invaded his neighbors, who harbored terrorist leaders, who used chemical weapons on innocent men, women, and children, is finally before the bar of justice. So he is saying that we're safer, but, dude, they're talking about, like, this cat Suarez, Buster Suarez, who
yes.
is the Election Assistance Commission, U.S. Election Assistance Commission.
U.S. And it is Suarez?
Sores.
I always thought it was sores. I've known the man for a while.
You've not, yeah, I know, but we were told two different sores.
I know.
Buster Sores or DeForest
Sores. Buster Sores.
He's a pastor. He's the head of a new federal voting commission. Suggested to congressional leaders Monday that there should be a process for canceling or rescheduling an election interrupted by terrorism. But the world is safer. I mean, what is this president? I mean, I don't know what he's getting at. And first of all, they've never suspended or canceled an election, even during the Civil War, during World War II. Even Condoleezza Rice said, dude, it's not going to happen. You can't do that. But he's opening a door, and you're speculating that this isn't about the elections.
I don't think it's about the elections.
He's also a pro-electronic voting guy. He's one of these guys that is saying that, you know, we really got to, upgrade the voting system. So
it's fun to vote by computer.
Right, but not without it. We need the paper trails. Blackboxvoting.org, if you want to get involved with that and see what's going on. There are lawsuits against Diebold, the voting machine manufacturer.
Now, we're going to ask him about that, whether he's in favor of the Diebold machines. I don't know that to be true, so we'll check that out.
We're going to ask him about a lot of things. I mean, if the terrorists are actually capable of disturbing an election in this country, a presidential election in the United States of America, given that we have, you know, all the states, you know, like as expansive as this country is, if the terrorists are actually able to put together an attack that would possibly, you know, disturb the presidential elections, then this president should be run out of town, should be run out.
I don't understand why bring up a subject like this that you know is going to cause this kind of fight. Buster Sores is not a political neophyte. He's been around for a long time. For those of you who don't know, he used to work with the Reverend Jesse Jackson when he was still in college.
Right.
Okay? He was at one time Reverend Jackson's spokesperson in the early 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, he was Secretary of State of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The first African American ever to be named Secretary of State.
He's been in politics a while.
He's been in politics a while. So I know he's too politically savvy to distribute this letter. It's not like the letter got discovered by a Freedom of Information Act request from the New York Times. He spread it out to everybody.
Which is suggesting that we need to put some protocol into place to suspend the elections if necessary.
If necessary.
Keep referring to this to the Spanish attacks as a disruption to the election process. But what really happened in Spain is you had a populace that was against their government's involvement in the Iraq War to begin with. Then these terrorist events happen. The government immediately blames the Basques terrorists, who don't do that kind of thing, knowing full well it was probably, you know, a jihadist or al-Qaeda operatives.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was not that the election was interrupted. It was that the terrorist act woke the people up to something that they believed in the first place and caused them to vote against the government that they didn't believe in to begin with. So it accelerated and made the elections actually more relevant and important, and it created public outcry. If the terrorists are this embedded in this country, then this president is not really succeeding in winning a war on terrorism.
So you're not buying the we're safer thing, huh?
No, and he is succeeding in terrorizing us. I believe that this administration is using tactics of terrorism to, you know, get people in this country to vote different than their heart.
Well, you know, it's interesting that in Spain it was an incumbent government that was cast out. It was the people that were there already. And maybe the Bush administration, and I mean, I know that Reverend Sores has referenced the Madrid bombings, as has the Bush administration in general. But, you know, here's a situation where he distributes this information, and 24 hours later, the National Security Advisor says, no, we're not even thinking about doing this.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about, because these people have, like, even Dick Cheney and his wife seem to be a little, you know, deferring, or not deferring, but have different points of view about the gay marriage thing, that there's always a conflict. There's always people within the Republican, you know, circle that seem to contradict each other.
But you know what they say about that? They say, well, and I saw this, the last two Republican conventions I covered in 96 and 2000, these little kinds of disagreements, they, well, we have a big tent. We have room for dissent. We have room for 4% black people. We have room for all of these different points of view, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, one of the things I find interesting is that DeForest Soares has long been considered a player in Republican Party politics, at least from an African-American point of view, and not that many blacks in the Republican Party. But he was considered a player, an up-and-coming guy. And now this, and I want to ask him exactly how that plays.
Where this is coming
yeah,
from.
Yeah, where this is coming from, where it's going.
We'll talk more in a minute on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Oh, man, I'm coming around. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is about today. About
it's a good
Tuesday.
Thing this isn't TV, man.
Yeah, it's raining. Yeah, I mean, that's yeah. I was saying that on McEnroe last night, but I was on TV. He'll get it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just a little chaotic. I've done those shows before where they're everybody's just getting started, getting the feel of it. They had a good band, and the set looks really good. You know, it was pretty wild.
It's important to have a good band, especially a guy like McEnroe.
Well, the funny thing is whenever I see a band, like I was walking off the stage after I did my bits and did my talking, and I looked at the guitar player and said, I wish I were you. I would love just to hang out and play guitar.
You know, there are two very interesting stories about John McEnroe. They go back a few years to back then. Number one, McEnroe was one of the few tennis players who at the time refused to go to South Africa and play. in violation of the boycott. The other thing that a lot of people don't know, there was a very tragic air crash that happened, I believe it was a Colombian airliner, an Avianca flight, that crashed on leaving JFK. Huge number of fatalities, a lot of people injured. John McEnroe, who lived near the crash site, literally opened his home to the rescuers and basically had his opened his home like as a triage center. Let the doctors and people that were trying to help folks who apparently weren't killed, people who were injured. He really like opened his heart, opened his whole home to this. I've always had a lot of respect for the guy for those two incidents.
Yeah, no, I got no problem with him. He's a good guy. He seems like a pretty righteous dude. I remember when I was a kid, my brother was a aspiring tennis pro. Mm-hmm. You know, and he actually went to Nick Bollettieri's tennis school. You know, he was ranked in doubles in the region, and he was really going for it.
So what happened to you?
Well, here's that weird moment. Is the day your little brother beats you at sports is the day you retire. For me, I didn't fight the good fight. I'm like, you know what? Thanks for helping me out. I'm going to start smoking cigarettes and playing a rock and, you know, playing guitar. I appreciate you freeing me. My little brother did. He taught tennis for a long time, too. But McEnroe, we one time went to a tournament, and my brother was running around getting his pictures taken with everybody. McEnroe was really, really cool about that.
Yeah?
You know? Yeah, he was. He was like, yeah, come here. You know, McEnroe's like one of those cats where you just remember, like, man, that dude's beating himself up more than anyone's going to beat him up. You know what I mean? When you fly off the handle, half of that is just sort of like, you know, damn me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know that. When I fly off the handle, it's just because I am tired of yelling at me. I'm tired of calling myself an ass, so now I'm going to call you an ass, because I'm all filled up with my own assness. Now I've got to share the assness.
Uh-huh.
That's how that works in my head. That's the cycle of self-loathing. I'm getting over it, though.
Well, you seem like you're getting over it. You seem like you're handling it much better.
Much better. Feel much more comfortable.
Better than what? I don't know, but better.
Yeah. By the way, a lot of people are asking about Sue. Sue is now a correspondent for Air America. She should be filing reports soon from across the pond. She decided that the reporting was where her heart was. So
her
that's
first love.
She's gone.
Yes.
And she's with her kids. I'm sure they're having a good time over there.
Baking them lemon fudge cakes?
Yeah, whatever.
No, lemon vanilla cakes. Sorry.
Yeah, something. She never gave me a piece of that. You know what I mean? I never do nothing. Here we go. Here's a liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. Get your pens and notebooks. One, have the word God removed from the titles of the George Burns trilogy, Oh God, Oh God Book Two, and Oh God You Devil. Two, throw an I Ching to decide between aligning chakras or adjusting feng shui in your office. Three, organized group to perform meticulous reenactments of the year 1968, right down to the clothes, drugs, riots, and assassinations. Four, declare that your molars are off limits for any future drilling. Five, phrase for the day, drop into conversations no matter what people are discussing, quote, of course you would never know that if you only listen to Fox News, unquote.
There you go.
That's it. So we're coming back next hour, right?
1968, man.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, man, that was a powerful year for me. I was five. I was very excited to be, you know, walking and not peeing in my bed. It was a big year for me.
I was a half step from being a high school dropout. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, the Senate debates gay marriage, Mark Maron's dream diary, plus Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and Tuesday's Morning Devotional here on Air America Radio. You got the soul of like a pillowcase.
But you left my love away, so I was scared to death signing lease, I'll tell you that.
Who's going to help us do this? Realtor. It's like we have to have a trained professional that's going to go out and look for exactly what we want.
Whether you pay utilities or whether you don't.
If I were looking for another property, I wouldn't do it without a commercial realtor. I don't have the expertise.
When you're ready to lease or buy a commercial property, ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
I could just turn it over to her and that it would be done and be done correctly.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store, so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York.
the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. While President Bush is touting his war in Iraq as having made America a safer place, many are questioning what impact the administration's incursion in Afghanistan has reaped. From all indications, the business of ending the bloodshed in the country is not over. Afghanistan is staring general elections in the face within the next couple of months. But if the Taliban, the ousted fundamentalist movement, has its way, those elections will never take place. Taliban sees the impending election as part of a U.S. crusade to dominate the Islamic world. In the past year, some 50 Westerners, a soldier, a civilian, and well over 1,000 Afghans have been killed. Iraq remains the scene of more violence. At least one explosion in central Baghdad this morning appears to have been caused by hand grenades tossed at the U.S. patrol. It comes from a spokesman for the Army's 1st Cavalry Division, which is responsible for the Iraqi capital. No word on U.S. casualties. 3 Iraqi civilians have been injured as a result of the blast. No word yet on whether the televised appeal to the kidnappers of a Filipino truck driver in Iraq has saved him from a beheading. The militants want the Philippines' 51 troops out of Iraq by July 20th. In response, a Philippines official on Al Jazeera television said the withdrawal would be as soon as possible. The man was snatched Wednesday. The Philippines said Saturday it would pull its troops out when its mandate ends August 20th. Kidnappers then demanded the withdrawal be moved up a full month and set Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a response. Chair of the new Federal Voting Commission, DeForest Bisari, started a barn fire yesterday by suggesting to congressional leaders that there should be a process for canceling or rescheduling an election interruption by terrorism. But National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice was quick to respond that no such plan is being considered by the administration, even though intelligence says Al-Qaeda wants to attack the United States to disrupt the impending elections. Suggestion by Soares immediately spawned discussion of a similar bid made by former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani shortly after the 9/11 attacks. Ex-mayor, who now receives a lot of hype for being America's mayor, had actually sought to justify an extension of his term because of the attack on New York. The issue was met with a resounding no from New York City voters and other politicians. Senate Republicans have been unable to agree on how best to get a vote on the constitutional amendment banning gay marriage, so now they have 2 versions of a proposal. Neither proposal is likely to get a direct vote. A vote is set for Wednesday, but it's largely a procedural one aimed at forcing the Senate to decide whether to act on the amendment. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says there's a great interest among Republicans for a simpler approach that would add one line to the Constitution defining marriage as a union between a man and a woman. President of the nation's largest gay rights organization says last-minute effort to get the votes in 2 different versions shows an amendment hasn't been carefully thought out yet. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, you. You know, I've been watching you, and it doesn't look like you're having a lot of fun behind the wheel. And being the all-new Ford Focus ST, I got the solution. Me. I want you to listen to this. Hear that? That's a new engine that makes me the most powerful Focus out there. With over 150 horses at my command, I'm the most powerful Focus available. And if you're a fan of the curves, you're going to love the way I handle.
New styling inside and out and a confidence-inspiring performance-tuned suspension. The all-new Ford Focus ST. It begs to be driven.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
So what else is news?
Leonard Nimoy, author, photographer, philanthropist, and director.
The Vulcan salute, the split-fingered salute. First time I experienced it, I must have been about 8 years old, in the men's section of the Orthodox shul.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
And I was told not to look. And these gentlemen had their hands outstretched, and I snuck a peek because I was fascinated to see what it was that we're not supposed to watch.
Thank
My
you.
Pleasure. Call me a lot.
Marty Kaplan on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Here we go. It's Tuesday, and I'm playing with noises.
Uh-oh.
You know, because I want to learn. Oh, there you go. I like that. How about one of these? Oh, that's it. Look at that. Back in the day, Riley.
What was that?
Yeah, back in the day. People out there in their cars are going, what kind of radio is this? I thought this was informed, intelligent, liberal radio. Now they're like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's morning zoo time.
Yeah,
yay!
Yeah.
All right.
You want intelligent? Wait till 7:15.
Hey, get away. I'm sorry. I just wanted to get to know the sounds on the toy.
Yeah.
So we got the Dream Diary coming up. We got Rock Birth of a Nation coming up. We got our Tuesday morning devotional, which we haven't been doing too regularly. Historian Alan Lichtman is going to talk to us about the Constitution and suspending the elections. That's all coming
up.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm actually a little hoarse today. You know why?
Why?
Because I was yelling. I was yelling last night.
Where?
I couldn't get to sleep. All right. Now, I'm not going to complain because I have a job. I like my job. I enjoy being here, but I do need my rest.
Yes.
And I'm trying to go to sleep, and I couldn't go to sleep. I don't know why I couldn't go to sleep, and then I realized, oh, it's because there was one of those industrial dumpsters in front of my apartment building, and they were moving stuff. Every time they put something in it, I didn't know what it was, but it sounded like a refrigerator. Did you know when they're doing...
Wait a minute, not that thing where they have like a chute that runs...
No, it wasn't a chute.
Oh.
They were running it from around back.
Oh,
there was
okay.
The three dudes with the dollies running stuff from around back. I didn't know where it was coming from. But I know it's not late, but after a certain point, it was like 8 o'clock. Can we stop the construction?
Yeah.
So literally, I hung out. I did a classic New York thing. It was like from West Side Story or something. I got a tank top, a muscle tee on. I'm in my boxer shorts. I stick my head out of my window, and I said, well, how long is this going to go on for? How long are we going to be throwing stuff in the giant dumpster? And the guy's like, I'm sorry, no habla. All right, let me put it a different way. Que hora do we end the stupid work? When does that happen?
And?
And he was like, he shrugged his shoulders and then threw a refrigerator in the industrial dumpster. And that went on for a while. So because I couldn't sleep, I called my wife in California and tried to blame her somehow.
Right. She's 3 hours before you,
that's
so
right.
How
is this your fault that I can't sleep here? Can you help me? Can you talk me down? I don't know. I just couldn't stop the noises in my head. I couldn't stop it. I was just laying in bed, you know.
Ah,
yeah,
that
exactly.
One too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was going on. I couldn't get it out of my head. And now, look, you know, I don't know what the hell is going on, but now today the Senate's going to discuss the gay marriage amendment, which is ridiculous.
They started this yesterday, too. It makes me want to hurl.
I'm
going
to talk to Alan Lichtman about that, too, about the constitutional, just amending the Constitution for political reasons because you don't believe that certain people should have rights to be happy in a way that other people have rights to be happy. I think if gay people want to get married, they can have it. You know, marriage is no, no easy thing, you know.
Well, you see, here's my problem. These people that are promoting this, know that they don't have the votes of the states. We're not just talking about passing a law here, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about a constitutional amendment which must be ratified by two-thirds of the 50 states.
That's some Taliban-y stuff, that stuff.
Yeah. Now, they know they don't have the numbers.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
But yet, they're going to sit here and debate this, not because they actually think they're going to get an amendment passed, but because they want to put Democratic lawmakers and John Kerry and John Edwards on the spot about what they consider to be a values issue.
Right, because they need to pander to their core group of angry, frightened, religious freaks,
mm-hmm.
you know, in order to guarantee at least some turnout at the polls in November. I swear to God, I wish to hell that people would, you know, just make it a priority in their life to get out and vote. Because it seems to me that given the pulse of this country, we could really have a landslide on our hands. And not only vote Bush out, but humiliate him like he deserves to be humiliated for destroying the fabric of this culture.
Yeah, and it would be nice if we could get rid of some of these senators. For example, Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, who says that legalizing gay marriage endangers our culture. Whatever the hell that means.
I mean, what does that mean? I'm feeling a little preachy today. Is that okay, people?
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Here. I want to give you something to preach about.
Okay.
Here is Rick Santorum.
I hate him already. Okay. Santorum. Have you seen that guy? Talk about a guy who's got unresolved sexuality problems.
Well, maybe. Sanctimonious is the word I think you're looking for.
I wanted to call him.
Well, I know you did, but here is his case for a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage.
Out on the horizon for America is not the reaffirmation of marriage by including more people in it, but the degradation of marriage because it becomes simply a social convention without meaning.
Yeah, now, he's never been to Vegas?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with him?
That, but also, why would he, a social convention without meaning, why does gay people getting married imply to him that it's a social convention without meaning? Where's the defense of that statement? I don't understand. You know, I mean.
He's got no record to draw on. In other words, he can't go back and look over the history of you know, gay unions, gay couples, or whatever, and come to the conclusion that the fact that they are together has somehow endangered America. They can't say that. They know they can't say it.
I really think that people like him, in their heart, in their secret hearts, realize that, you know, because of the sexual freedom that gay people enjoy and have fought for in this country, that he really spites them for having a better time than him. And I think that the thing is like, all he has to hold on to are these weird little rules and values, as he's called them, you know, to repress his, you know, deep-seated, you know, spite and resentment of people that know how to enjoy themselves.
Mm.
And I just think that, you know, the idea is, like, people should be able to get married. Like, even if it, you know, I believe in marriage, but even, like Kerry says, civil unions and Edwards, they're not about gay marriage, but they're into the civil unions. It's like, a civil union, you know, you decide what kind of party you want to have.
Yeah.
That's what I say. I just think that they should have, you know, rights to do it, and they should also have the rights that are afforded to people who are married, like the ability to go see your loved one in the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, your husband or wife in the hospital when they get into an accident as being their spouse, which some gay people are denied. The ability to get, you know, money left to them by their spouse, mm-hmm. as you know, straight people are allowed in their unions. I just think that all those should be afforded to them. And also, you know, just the party and everything else. I don't understand where the argument is that this is some sort of slippery slope to anything other than human rights.
Well, remember something. People who oppose gay marriage have actually invoked bestiality as the end of that slippery slope you just mentioned. That's insane.
It's dehumanizing. Just the idea that if people have sex with people of the same sex, that, you know, what's next?
What's next? Dogs?
The animal kingdom.
Yeah.
Or polygamy. You know, I just still believe that they're jealous. I really think that the straight people, especially the ones that are as repressed as someone like Santorum, are jealous of gay people because gay people have a type of freedom that he will never be able to understand.
I would agree with you 100%.
So still ahead, we got to Alan Lichtman, we got my dream diary coming up, and I'm going to try and maybe not be so heavy-handed. So come back to Air America Radio.
Recent medical studies have shown that users of Zyprexa may be at a higher risk for diabetes. If you have taken Zyprexa and have developed diabetes or high blood sugar, you may have important legal rights. At the Levin Law Firm in Pensacola, Florida, we don't charge a fee or costs unless we make a recovery for you. If you believe that you've been injured by Zyprexa, call our office for a free consultation at 1-800-297-1193. That's 1-800-297-1193. The pharmaceutical companies has its lawyers. Let the Levin Law Firm be yours.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
All right. How about a little MC5 for you? I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition. And here, of course, is my dream diary. This is my dream last night when I finally did get to sleep and they stopped throwing refrigerators off. It's election night, and I'm at the Kerry campaign headquarters waiting for the returns. The room is filled with red balloons and drunk Democrats. We're all watching a big TV monitor, and it's incredible. Though only 40% of the votes have been counted, there's Dan Rather saying, Kerry wins Ohio, and Jennings, Kerry wins Florida, and Brokaw, Kerry wins Ohio, and Blitzer, Kerry wins Texas. Oh, man, I'm dancing to bad 70s songs I don't even like because I'm so happy. I'm drunk on cranberry juice. There's a lot of kissing going on. One couple is humping under the balloons. Two guys in the corner are doing it with the balloons. Doesn't matter, man. John Kerry is president. Screw all the balloons you want. Just then, every monitor goes blank. The DJ stops playing Brandy, You're a Fine Girl. George W. Bush appears on the screen, suppressing a smirk. He has news that a highly placed source says the terrorists are about to attack tonight. Everyone should go to their homes immediately and wait for further instructions. For God's sakes, don't be in a gymnasium, an elementary school, a library, or a community center. Plus, terrorists are specifically targeting anyone black, or young, or gay, or urban, or interesting in any way. It hurts them, but the elections are going to have to be postponed, at least until order can be restored. Since there is a curfew, everyone needs to be home and watching Fox News within the next 45 minutes, or you will be detained without trial. And who is this highly placed source? As always, Jesus. I leap to the screen and pound on it until my fists bleed this interesting magenta color. The DJ starts playing Brandy, You're a Fine Girl again, but clearly his heart isn't in it now. The room begins collapsing in on itself, and I hear the sound of 1,000 balloons popping. The last thing I see is Bush's head swelling and floating high over our heads, drifting into darkness. I woke up and my bed was filled with razor-sharp confetti.
Mm.
Wow. What was that about? We got some people writing in their own dream diaries. I find it very interesting. You can go to spreadingsanctorum.com if you have a strong stomach and an iron disposition to see some nasty, some nastiness. It's a new definition for Santorum. Someone just hipped us to. We'll continue talking about the gay marriage thing because I believe it's the most important, non-important thing there is.
Well, yeah.
It should be just a given, man.
The Bush administration has made it important. Their friends in Congress have made it important for a very specific reason. They want to paint people who support gay marriage as being outside the mainstream of American political thought. That's what their goal is here.
I don't know when they're going to realize that they're the ones in the cave.
I know.
You know what I mean? They think that by continuing to repeat the idea that like people are outside the mainstream, that they actually will be. It's ridiculous. These people are—they're digressing. They're arcane. They're pulling us backward. You know, their commitment to stopping science, to stopping, you know, all sorts of progress in the name of religious repression is mind-boggling.
Well, they do this because they think nobody's looking. The stacking of different agencies and the FDA and all these other places with people who think like them, with religious fundamentalists in some cases. People getting up on the Senate floor, as we heard Rick Santorum, and make an absolutely ridiculous statement, like the one he made, that somehow gay marriage will further demean, and he didn't even say further demean, you know, the quality of American life.
What does that mean?
Maybe he's never heard of Britney Spears. Maybe he's never heard of the Elvis wedding chapels that dot the strip in Vegas. I mean, how can you, with a straight face, say that gay marriage will produce anything worse than that?
Yeah, no, I was divorced. I've been divorced once. I mean, sometimes marriage doesn't work out. I mean, I didn't take the institution seriously. I mean, you know, in terms of, like, I didn't look at it in that same way. Now my marriage, I just think that if you have a relationship with somebody that you want to share and be, you know, in a bond that is legal and committed, and, you know, you can define your marriage how you want once you're in it. A lot of people are freakier than others, you know. But I just think that, you know, it should be a choice that every individual has with anyone they want to have that choice with, you know.
I believe that at this point, all of the senators who support this ought to have their own sexual histories exposed. Just in case. All right? I don't want any hypocrisy up in here. If you say that you're opposed to gay marriage because you think it'll rip apart the fabric of American life, be sure you didn't do anything that will rip apart the fabric of American life. How about it, huh?
Yeah, or you're not thinking that. See, I tend to believe, I have an argument that I tried to make with my producer earlier that you know, he didn't jump on, but I think that more damage has happened in the history of human beings from latent homosexuality, from repressed homosexuality, than almost any force in the universe.
And who might that latent homosexual be, Mark Maron?
I don't know, like Hitler,
okay.
You know, like Jeffrey Dahmer, like, you know, it's just that, you know, people who, you know, a freedom of sexuality, you know, in an unfrightened culture,
mm-hmm.
could only add, you know, love and excitement to and creativity to the culture if we could embrace it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's restrictions. Any sort of repression is going to cause a malignancy, some sort of emotional malignancy, a cultural malignancy, and also a physical malignancy. I believe this to be true. I mean, obviously you can't go crazy. You know what I mean? There are some, you know, there has to be rules.
Well, you can, but,
right.
You know,
but
there,
you know,
are consequences.
Yeah, and as long as you don't involve other people in those consequences, I mean, laws are laws.
Yeah.
But amending the Constitution to deny people their rights is a whole different issue. Things have to evolve. They have to grow. I mean, there have to be laws and rules, but they shouldn't deny people their rights on you know, from repressive ideologies founded in arcane religious beliefs.
And see, the other part of that is that repression like that hurts both straights and gays.
It hurts everybody.
It hurts everybody. And people just don't say, at least people in the Senate, who are bringing this up with a straight face when they know it will not pass. They know this.
Yeah.
So why are they doing it? Well, one person who at least seems to know what the deal is Democrat Dianne Feinstein, Senator Dianne Feinstein, who used to, by the way, be the mayor of San Francisco. She has a different view than Rick Santorum about this debate that's going on in the Senate over gay marriage.
This is a waste of time. The votes are not present to submit this amendment to the states. The timing is just a few months before an election.
So now we know.
Yeah,
there aren't enough votes to submit this to the states. It's going to come up for a procedural vote tomorrow, so we'll pretty much know what the deal is going to be. But what
Mark,
the...
help me out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've got my Government for Beginners book, but I don't have it with me. What's a procedural vote mean?
That means that they will decide, I think, and I want to, perhaps we'll have our folks double check it. They may want to discuss whether it gets out of committee, whether it goes to the full, you know, to the full body.
So there's quite a few steps that have to be taken before anything, before they can touch the parchment.
Well, yeah, before they get to that point. But see, what they want here is not necessarily even to pass the measure. What they want is to get people on the record either voting yes or no. That's
right.
What they really want.
I get it.
They want to be able to say, well, this senator over here in from wherever, the distinguished gentlelady,
yeah,
that person is in favor of gay marriage, and therefore you shouldn't return them to their job, whatever that particular state may, whatever state that may be.
Right.
That's what their real purpose is. Their purpose is blatantly and overtly political.
Right.
And Dianne Feinstein knows it. What troubles me a little bit about the Democratic position here is that everybody seems to be ducking and dodging. And mm-hmm. that troubles me. You know, look, don't be a punk about same-sex marriage.
Politicians ducking and dodging?
Yeah, I know. It may be too much to ask. But why be a punk about this? Most of them have served with Barney Frank for an awful long time. What do they think, he's chopped liver?
I hope we can get him on the show.
I think he's got a book or a movie or something that's coming out.
There's a documentary, I think, about him.
Opening
at the Film Forum this week.
Yeah.
No, maybe he'll come
an
on.
An interesting guy.
I've always thought he's an interesting guy.
Yeah, and I, you know, at a point you have to ask yourself, how cynical are people to bring this up when you got 1,000 Americans that are dead between Iraq and Afghanistan, when you have constant bombings, as we heard in the news earlier today, another green zone explosion, when you have all of this going on, you have a jeopardized election possibly in Afghanistan.
You've got a president who's in deep denial, lying to the people that we're safer, and all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, and the gay people can't get married. That's the most important thing right now, is that we stop these people from having the rights that other people have.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's important. This country is in jeopardy of being sort of enveloped by a lying, you know, culture.
Yeah, and it starts at the top. Now, that procedural vote will be on which
lies.
Of apparently two versions of this constitutional amendment will hold sway.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is really just so, for me, sad to see people being used like this, because that's what they're doing. They are using the gay community for their own political end, and they know it. I feel, and I wonder how the log cabin Republicans, the gay Republican organization, I don't know how they can look themselves in the mirror. They go out and raise money for the very
could.
People.
I don't know how they could before, either.
Yeah.
Gay Republicans. I mean, I don't understand it.
Well, neither do I. And, you know, they are people that raise money so that people like Rick Santorum can stand up on the Senate floor and make a mockery of who they are.
It's despicable, because it's just what it is. It's intolerance. It's an inability to accept something that is frightening to them,
mm-hmm.
because they don't have the freedom to be able to entertain the idea in their mind. It's everything I hate.
Ooh, I hear banjos.
Could be good, could be bad, the banjo.
Yeah, coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, historian Alan Lichtman, plus U.S. Election Assistance Commission Chair, the Reverend DeForest Sorries, and the Morning Devotional, all here on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Congressional investigators have discovered that the federal government's color-coded threat system is too vague and confusing to help many local and state law enforcement officials. Information has prompted congressional leaders to call for a complete overhaul. Close to 200 women serving in the Middle East say they have been sexually assaulted by fellow soldiers in the past 21 months. An advocacy group has sharply criticized U.S. military for falling short in addressing the problem. Democrats stage a major political coup by getting Ron Reagan and the outspoken son of the late former president to make a primetime address during the Democratic National Convention in Boston. Reagan is expected to criticize President Bush for his decision to restrict embryonic stem cell research. And prominent rapper Jadakiss wants to know why some radio stations around the country are editing his hit single from his new album called Why. The recording directly links President Bush to the 9/11 attacks in 2001. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
If you're tired of dealing with glasses or contacts but have been concerned about the price of LASIK, now you can get the best of both worlds. That's right. TLC Laser Eye Centers is offering no payments for 12 months. That means you can have exceptional LASIK, TLC's lifetime commitment, and skilled surgeons at a price you can manage from one of the leaders in laser vision correction. More than 500,000 eyes have trusted TLC for the LASIK procedure, including thousands of eye doctors and Tiger Woods.
After 5 years and more than 35 worldwide wins, I'm still as happy as ever with my TLC Laser Eye Center's experience. I'm 20/20 with no contacts.
Yeah, that Tiger Woods. To take advantage of this limited, no-payment-for-12-month offer, call TLC at 800-300-7509. Some restrictions may apply. In fact, call today for all the details. That's 800-300-7509.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Hi, this is Al Franken. Tuesday on the Al Franken Show, author, humorist, and most importantly, Florida voter Carl Hiaasen will be our guest to discuss the Sunshine State, or as I now think of it, the Shady State. Plus, NASCAR sociologist Jim Wright will give us a peek under the hood of the average NASCAR dad to see if we can get him to shift gears without having to kick his tires too hard. Yes, all those car jokes and more tomorrow on the Al Franken Show.
Yay! Tuesday. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, Morning Sedition.
Good morning.
Air America Radio. And you can go to morningsedition.com. It's our website. You can blog away with the blog community on the morningsedition.com website. Has there ever been a time in our country's history when there was talk of suspending a presidential election other than now? Joining us by phone from Bethesda, Maryland, is Alan Lichtman, a professor of history at American University in Washington. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Morning.
Is there anything in the Constitution that allows a presidential election to be suspended or delayed?
Well, there's nothing that either allows it, and there's nothing that either
disallows it. But, of course, these rumors come 30 years too late.
Uh-huh.
Let's flash back to the presidency of the esteemed Richard Nixon.
Okay.
Back as we approach 1972. Rumors were rife that Nixon was going to suspend the presidential election of 1972.
Because
of wartime emergencies, this was, of course, or domestic emergencies. This was an era, of course, when he was trying to wind down the Vietnam War, when the streets were rife with student demonstrations, when we had the killings of demonstrators at Kent State and Jackson State, and when it looked like, worst of all, Richard Nixon might not get reelected.
So
that's
that
when
it.
The rumors really started to fly.
So he was politicizing this to protect himself.
Well, I'm not saying he was, you know, this directly came from him.
Right.
But I am saying there were rumors to that effect.
Well, there's some, this isn't directly coming from this president either.
Exactly. We don't exactly know where this is coming from.
It's coming from DeForest Soares, or Buster Soares. He's the chairman of the U.S. Election Assistant Commission.
That's right. But, you know, is it initially coming from him, or is he being, you know, is there some kind of cattle prod being stuck in his side?
We're going to talk to him in a little while after you.
Now, here's what's really interesting about this. President of the United States has enormous emergency powers. Presidents have done all kinds of things without the authority of Congress. Abraham Lincoln called up the militia, began fighting the Civil War without the authority of Congress, and, of course, suspended habeas corpus during the war. Franklin Roosevelt interned over 100,000 Japanese Americans during World War II, initially without the authority of the Congress. Harry Truman seized the steel mills in 1952 without the authority of Congress.
Could the Congress have blocked any of this?
Conceivably, yes. Now, the court actually stepped in one instance in 1952 and said Truman had stepped over the line.
Right.
But for the most part, the court has been very deferential to presidential emergency powers. It was another Republican president, remember, Gerald Ford, who says, well, what is the Constitution? The Constitution is whatever the Supreme Court says. It is.
I get you. We're talking to Professor Alan Lichtman. He is a professor of history at American University in Washington.
Professor Lichtman, was there a time, I seem to remember, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there was there a time just before the 1864 election when people thought seriously because of the Civil War that they were going to postpone it, and then obviously they changed their minds?
There really was. During wartime, both the Civil War and World War II, there is some talk about the possibility of postponing the election, particularly during the war, if the battles actually came to the North during that period. But there was no serious consideration of postponing the election of 1864. There was no serious consideration of postponing the election of 1944. Of course, in 1864, Lincoln thought he was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that summer wrote a letter saying, you know, I expect to lose, but I hope, you know, the new president will not abandon the Union. But then Sherman took Atlanta. Sheridan cleaned out a lot of Confederates in Virginia. The Northern Navy sunk the last Confederate ramming vessel, and things turned around, and Lincoln got elected.
Mm-hmm. Professor, what would have to happen to specifically stop the administration from postponing elections? You said earlier that there is no law that says they can, no law that says they cannot. Is there anything that could stop President Bush if he had a mind to postpone the election?
I think it would be difficult. Obviously, there is a law establishing the date of elections. It was established way back in the 1840s. But as I said, presidents, when they declare a national emergency, have broad powers. What you'd have to do, I believe, would be for Congress to act now. It would be very difficult to act after the fact because there's so much deference given to what a president says in a national emergency. Act now and set up a contingency plan. And what you conceivably could do would be to pass a law establishing a commission and say only this commission has the right to change the dates of the election. It would have to be a very prestigious bipartisan commission. But, you know, It's very difficult to block presidential actions in advance of the president acting. I think immediately, obviously, someone would have to go to the Supreme Court if the president declared a national emergency and postponed the election. And you know what happens when you go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Professor Lichtman, as a professor of history, okay, and as someone who is specialized in the Constitution, obviously the American presidency, how do you rank George W. Bush?
Oh, well, it's far, far too early to rank George W. Bush. You know, we have no idea what the results are going to be of any of his initiatives.
How about just as a president, you know, in the present?
You know, I wouldn't rank him very highly. You know, because I truly believe one of the things a president must do is level with the American people and establish his credibility. That was the mistake Lyndon Johnson made. It was the mistake Richard Nixon made on a smaller stage. It was the mistake Bill Clinton made. And I think George Bush has made this terrible mistake on the largest scene of national security and international politics.
Mm-hmm. Professor, maybe this is unfair to ask you to get into somebody else's head, but I cannot for the life of me. I've known Reverend DeForest Soares for a pretty fair length of time, and I can't figure out for the life of me why he would disseminate this call for giving him the power to suspend this election at this time. Why do you think this has been? Was somebody just floating a trial balloon here?
I really, you know, as you say, it's hard to get into his head. Someone is certainly floating a trial balloon. But, this is not some plot, I don't think, by the Bush administration. I don't think this really helps the Bush administration. As I said, the president's big problem is credibility. People don't think he levels with the American people, that he manipulates facts and information to his own political hand. And this doesn't help that reputation.
Right, that can make it worse. Thank you very much, Professor Lichtman. Appreciate you being here.
Take care.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270, and let's hear what you have to think about this on Air America Radio.
Slim 90.
Slim 90.
Slim90.com. 1-888-3-SLIM-90.
Slim 90.
Slim90.com.
1-888-3-SLIM-90.
Slim 90.
Slim 90.
Slim90.com.
1-888-3-SLIM-90.
Slim 90.
1-888-3-SLIM-90.
Slim90.com.
1-888-3-SLIM-90.
Slim90.com.
Slim90.com.
1-888-3-SLIM-90.
Slim 90.
Slim90.com.
Slim 90.
Slim90.com.
Slim 90.
Slim 90.
Do it get your attention? Good. When you think of weight loss, you should think of Slim 90. People all over the U.S. of A are winning the weight loss fight with their three pills at night weight loss system. Three Slim 90 gel caps before you go to bed, and that's all there is to it. Their unique weight loss formula has no ephedra and no stimulants, so those jittery days and nights of other products are over. Give them a call at 1-888-3-SLIM-90 or check them out on the web at slim90.com. With Slim 90, you can win the fight with three pills a night.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and they include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
It's Tuesday. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning's Edition. You're listening to Air America, if you were wondering. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 16. Leaders of Iraq. Hello, good morning. We realize that random killings haven't stopped. All right, hang on. That's not a criticism. But what is changing is the way we report them. The media are getting bored. You can't expect them to pay attention to a foreign country forever. Frankly, your car bombs are getting tired. You can't expect our full attention forever on this thing. You understand? All right. In America, we have 15, 20, 25 gunshot deaths in our cities every day, but you won't find them on the front page. Yeah, okay, I'll answer that. Why? Because Britney's getting married, and Courtney Love's been arrested. That's news, no matter how often either happens. A few more dead in the desert, I know it seems really important to you, but over here, you guys are barely a notch above a ferry accident in the Philippines. Okay. You want to make headlines? Don't just kill them next time. Eat them. You'll be back in the news cycle fast enough. The beheading was a nice touch, but at this stage, you're in danger of beheading fatigue. Beheading fatigue, that would be, as a thing. Do you know how hard that is to do? Stay interesting, Iraq. You're competing with I Love the 90s. Good luck, and God bless. This is Day 16 in Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Heavy, man.
Heavy.
Jim in Connecticut, listening to XM. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Jim.
How are you doing?
Good, man.
Oh, man. Mark, yeah. Maron, once again, you've nailed the particular point that I agree with on the repressed homosexuality being the root of a lot of human evil.
Yes.
I tend to agree with that.
Yes.
Just on a gut level, I couldn't pull out a historical fact. But also, what I was thinking about, when Mark Riley, you were saying that you were tired of the Democrats sort of ducking and hiding over this gay marriage thing.
Yeah, I am.
I think it's time to just put up pictures of, like, Neanderthal man, put up the Republican candidate and say, this is what we're competing against. We should be proud of our progressive ideas and thoughts instead of backpedaling. These guys are just frigging wrong.
Yes.
And I'm tired of thinking that, oh, well, we should pander to these guys. No, they're wrong. They are wrong.
Thank you.
Thank you
ever run for office?
Yeah.
I'd love to see more people run for office that would have guts enough. And see, with the way things work in politics, Mark, the first couple of guys that do this will get their heads handed to them politically, all right? They will lose a couple of elections. But sooner or later, people will get wise to the fact that people are speaking from their hearts, people are speaking what they truly believe, and people who do that will start winning elections.
Yeah, I think that the hearts are starting to speak up in the populace. I think that people, as we were saying before, and as James Galbraith once pointed out, and I sort of speculated on his idea, was that, you know, Bush's approval rating, so there was a little movement into last week, but not really, and that they sort of gone progressively down. I mean, the economy's sort of a sham. He hasn't made up for the jobs that were lost initially, and you know, there's a lot of things that people are waking up to, and they can no longer hide their own intuition from themselves.
Yes,
you know, and I think it's a great thing. Ken is streaming in San Diego.
Hey, Ken.
How are you, buddy?
You know, I have my plan in place already. If they try to postpone the elections,
yeah, what is it?
I'll just write my my choice on a piece of paper and tack it up on my local polling place.
Okay.
I dare them to even try to put a plan in place to postpone the election.
So you're saying you're just going to go leave a post-it? By the way, Ken votes for...
Yeah, right? Good point.
I will let everybody know when they see my tack on the wall.
Okay, good, man. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, he's got a point.
I think that there should be some public outcry about this because, you know, I mean, like I was saying earlier, you know, if there really is a threat that is that imminent and that broad reaching, then, you know, we've really got, you know, what we've got to do is change the president immediately.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking in an hour to the man who wants the power to postpone the election. That would be the chair of the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, Reverend Dr. DeForest Soares.
So many different titles. And you've talked to this guy before, right?
Oh, I talked to him back in the day when he was working with Jesse Jackson. That was back in the early 70s.
Remember when Jesse Jackson called us?
Yeah.
Good morning, family. Hello, Joe. How are you, Joe?
What's up, Joe?
I was just bring up the idea of what would happen if John Kerry got assassinated, a month before.
Oh, God, man. You know,
You're scaring me, Joe.
Would you support it then, though? I mean, that's, you know, that'd be a case where people really couldn't make a, vote for a Democrat in that case.
It's an interesting speculation, and oddly a fear that I've entertained lately.
Yeah, I don't think the election would be postponed. I think what would happen is John Edwards would then become the nominee, and he'd have to look for a vice president.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it should be postponed. And it's weird that, you know, he would speculate that. I don't know exactly where Joe was coming from, you know, what side he was coming from in terms of asking
that question.
In a way,
that almost doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter at all. But the weird thing is that I've had to speculate, as I know a lot of other people who are either progressive or paranoid progressives, sometimes it goes together, that, you know, that could happen. Not only that Kerry could, you know, something, you know, horrible could happen to Kerry, but that, you know, it would be allowed or, you know, secretly condoned by some sort of part of the, you know, ultra-right machine.
Oh, wait a minute. You're not talking about that whole Charles killed Diana scenario, are you?
No, I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about the Kennedys, man. You know, what happened to JFK really? Here we go. Joanne in Denver streaming. How are you?
Joni.
I'm sorry, Joni. I'm sorry. I thought it said Joanne.
No, Joni. Never mind.
How are you? It's okay. Joni as in what? What were you going to say?
I was just calling about the fact that you said that there should be an outcry if they try and postpone the election.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying I think there would have been one. I thought there would have been one when they elected Bush instead of Gore because obviously we voted for him. So I think maybe it's a bit.
Right. He wasn't.
I think the American people are a bit sedated. I just thought I am an American. I know I have an English accent at the moment because I've been there for the past 2 years. But
yeah, it's mild.
Just thought I'd make that point.
It's nice that you're.
Yeah, and it's nice that you know you say you're an American.
Yeah, but you know what she's saying is that, well, first of all, you know, whether or not Bush was really elected, I mean, clearly he lost the popular vote. It was very close. You know, people were more asleep then. I tend to believe that they are waking up a bit now. And with the sound of the Velvet Underground piercing into my head, I know it's time that we take a break. Why don't you stay on the line, though? We'll take a couple more calls on the other side of this and keep listening to Air America.
Are Americans better off than we were 4 years ago? In a new national poll conducted by Mother Jones Magazine, a strong majority of registered voters from across the country claim that the United States have gotten pretty seriously off on the wrong track. And half of those surveyed voted for George W. Bush in the 2000 presidential election. Take the poll yourself and view the complete results at MotherJones.com. Also at MotherJones.com, your daily mojo, the best of the independent web and exclusive reports, every day at MotherJones.com. Mother Jones, strange name for a magazine, but take a look. See what you think.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new, bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee? We listen. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Little shout out to Mud Honey there. Yeah, we got email coming in. We got people on the phone. Hang on a minute. Let me do our morning devotional here. Dear Lord, I read a story that some of your followers in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, were stopped from having a book burning because it would violate fire and clean air codes. Now, at first, book burning doesn't sound like such a good idea. Suppressing ideas, stifling thought, the First Amendment and all that. Also, the Nazis were enthusiastic book burners, so that's a downer. Plus, the line between burning books and burning authors starts to blur. I'll bet that those people in Cedar Rapids would have gladly thrown Bill Clinton onto the fire. But on the other hand, Lord, do we really need Tuesdays with Maury? Or anything for dummies? Personally, I wouldn't mind seeing flames licking around the dust jacket photo of Sean Hannity. When you get down to it, is burning a book any worse than selling it for 50 cents on a folding table on 23rd Street? I could use some clarity on this, Lord. In the meantime, I won't burn the Bible. That's your book, Lord, and you worked hard on it. Plus, burning all that leather and gold leaf and gilt, that's got to be a clean air violation. Thank you for listening. Amen. Yeah, it's weird, but I, you know.
God gets you for burning the Bible.
You know, even though that we had the morning devotional, I did admit to having American Politics for Dummies. And, you know, some of us didn't pay attention during school.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Dave in Connecticut was in a WLIB. What's going on?
Hi.
Hey, Dave. What town are you in Connecticut?
Right now I'm driving through Waterbury.
Oh, okay.
I'm really concerned about this idea of postponing the election. You
right.
Know, I don't think anyone should have that kind of power. You know, barring something really horrific like a nuclear bomb or something,
yeah.
I don't see any reason for them to do that. And, you know, it reminds me of Nazi Germany when the Reichstag burned down, and then Hitler took emergency powers and, you know, basically just never gave him up.
Yeah, it's very frightening, yeah, that he could make himself president for life, this president. I appreciate your call, and I tend to agree. We're going to flesh this out with Mr. Soares.
Yes, Reverend Soares.
Mr. Doctor.
Reverend Doctor.
Dr. Reverend Mr. Soares.
That's the one.
Jerry in Long Island, listening to LIB.
How are you guys doing? Yeah. This is outrageous what the Bush administration is trying to do, and I do think this emanates from the Bush administration.
Yes.
They can have this particular individual official come out and try to pretend like it's just him, but I think this emanates from the Bush administration, and this is outrageous, undemocratic, and unconstitutional. And even Abraham Lincoln said, it has long been a grave question whether any government not too strong for the liberties of its people can be strong enough to maintain its existence in great emergencies. And he said that on November 10th, 1864, and I agree with Abraham Lincoln. I know there's some controversy because Abraham Lincoln suspended the writ of habeas corpus, but the U.S. Constitution says he could in cases of rebellion or invasion.
Okay.
And so,
well, thank you very much for your input. You know, we just talked to a professor who said that it's not in the Constitution one way or the other whether they can do what they're talking about doing. But we're definitely going to flesh this out in the next hour.
Is sedition one of those things they could do?
We can be seditious.
Yes, we can. Don't miss the next hour of Morning Tradition. Coming up, the presidential daily briefing. We'll talk to the man who wants to talk about suspending the national elections, plus the liberal agenda, all here on Air America Radio.
The Radio Shack Dictionary of Gizmos. Today's definition, the long life doodad, as described by Vanessa Williams.
It's the gizmo that can keep your smoke alarms working longer. Just climbing up to replace those things isn't exactly fun.
Join Radio Shack when you ask for
those long life doodads.
We'll show you our lithium 9-volt smoke alarm battery, and you'll get peace of mind knowing it'll last up to 10 years. So come in for easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
I'll take a long life doodad over a short life doodad every time.
Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
Weeds, like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others, can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Congressional leaders are up in arms, calling for a complete overhaul this morning of the government's color-coded system of terrorist threats. Congressional investigators have determined that the system is deeply flawed because local and state law enforcement officials find them vague and too confusing. A report by the General Accounting Office, the investigative arm of Congress, cites widespread concern among federal, state, and local officials about the quality and timing of the threat information received from the Department of Homeland Security. In other news, the presidential campaign season is definitely heating up with the candidates canvassing the countryside in a bid to win voter support. Vice President Dick Cheney attended a fundraiser last night in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, near the Pocono Resort area, during which he admitted with a straight face that his good looks and charm led to his rise as vice president. This is an apparent reference to his Democratic counterpart.
Somebody said to me the other day that Senator Edwards got picked for his good looks and charm. I said, how do you think I got this job? Why is that funny?
Vice President Dick Cheney in the Pocono Resort area last night. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry was in Boston, stumping for votes and cash for his campaign in his home state of Massachusetts. Kerry repeated what has become a familiar rallying cry for the unseating of the incumbent.
We are going to talk common sense to the American people. We're going to tell the American people the truth and nothing but the truth. And we're going to trust the American people to make the future of our country what we want it to be. That's what this is about.
Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry in Massachusetts last night. A new poll by USA Today. CNN and Gallup reveals that Democrat John Kerry got a boost nationwide for a selection of North Carolina Senator John Edwards to be his running mate. Despite this, that same poll says Edwards has failed to make his home state of North Carolina competitive. Just the same, the polls say Edwards' involvement has given Kerry a 6-point lead coast to coast over Bush Cheney. Democratic presidential candidate Kerry yesterday sought to capitalize on the growing rift between the White House and the civil rights leaders by accusing the president of ignoring racial and economic inequalities in the United States. Kerry made the charge at a Massachusetts fundraiser yesterday, casting light on Bush's decision last week not to meet with the members of the nation's oldest civil rights organization, the NAACP. Bush's decision not to meet with the group is not the first time. Some critics say Bush only meets with those blacks and other minorities who tend to share his values and his goals. And those critics are quick to point out that they are truly a minority. Meanwhile, John Kerry will be addressing the NAACP convention in Philadelphia on Thursday of this week. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Okay, keep your eyes on the road. Don't look around. Just listen. It's me, the new Ford Focus. I see what you're driving there, and I gotta tell you, you deserve better. You deserve more power. I'm talking the kind of power that throws you back in your seat. You deserve better handling, like the European-inspired suspension that sticks to the road like duct tape. That's what I'm talking about. So, how do you get everything you deserve? Drive me, the new Ford Focus.
More power, enhanced European suspension. Consumer Guide's Best Buy 4 years in a row. The new Ford Focus. It begs to be driven.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Randy Rhodes.
When Republicans talk about Hitler, it's like they know. There was something creepy about that ad. They took it down, though. That's the point. So we made ourselves known to them.
Air America's Randy Rhodes.
I just wanted to say, you know, Republicans, you don't have to be that desperate. There are a lot of difference between Hitler and Bush, and Democrats would be the first one to admit that. For instance, Hitler was elected.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Yes, it's true. It's Tuesday morning, and I want to make a noise.
Bye bye.
We got a lot of things coming up this hour. We got a big hour. We got DeForest Buster Sorries, head of the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, on his plan for suspending elections. This story has blown up. And,
real big.
And both sides are definitely speaking out on it. President's palm pilot, we got that. We got the daily briefing coming up. We got the liberal agenda coming up. We got a lot of things coming up, Mark.
Yes, we do.
We've been talking about a lot of stuff. I want to address something that happened yesterday. I made a comment about how poignant and timely it was that Larry King had Jeffrey Dahmer's parents on television.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why? What is that? And the comment I made on air here on Morning Sedition, I don't have a tape of it, but I remember it. I said it's, you know, the parents of Jeffrey Dahmer are reaching out to other parents who might potentially have a latent homosexual, racist, cannibal, serial killer in their living room or growing up, right? So, of course, a couple of people called angry. Well, you shouldn't have put homosexual in that list of things as if it were a negative thing. Now, here's a couple issues. I didn't say homosexual. I said latent homosexual, which I would think that most homosexuals would think is a relatively negative place to be, to feel like you have to repress your sexual freedom, okay? Now, I didn't say homosexual, but but he was a latent homosexual. But oddly, not only did I hear from those people, I got two emails, all right? Listen to this one. Dear Mr. Maron.
Dear
Mr. Maron, as a cannibal, I was offended by Mr. Maron's reference to Jeffrey Dahmer as a racist. Why? Because he preferred to eat Asian boys? If you had done your research, you would know that we take on the spirit of our victims when we eat them. All right? By eating Asian boys, Jeffrey Dahmer became much better at math, although his driving skills would have greatly diminished. There's nothing racist about that.
Well,
sincerely, Tom Johnson.
Tom Johnson.
Yeah.
Is there an address attached to that? Because I want to make sure I never go anywhere near where he is.
Well, here's another one. Dear Mr. Marin, as a gay racist, I was offended at Mr. Marin lumping our community in with the cannibal racists. That's always happening. Frankly, we wouldn't even enter a float in any parade they're marching in. Note to Mr. Marin, gay racists do not dine on human flesh, not even the genetically superior white gay flesh, just so you know.
You know, you get some really great emails.
Wait, sincerely, Tom Johnson.
Tom Johnson.
Now I'm going to get emails about those emails.
Yes.
About the entire context of that bit. But I invite it. I love to hear from you people, both for bad and for good, for nice and for not.
For nice and for not, for naughty and nice. That's right. MorningSedition.com is how you can communicate.
Aren't you glad?
With the great Marin.
The great Riley. Aren't you glad that the world is so much safer, Mark? Don't you feel safer after George Bush telling us how safe we were last night? I feel safer.
I feel...
I'm asleep.
We're talking about someone with some serious delusions.
Listen to that. Can we hear that sound?
Can we hear the sound of George W. Bush? Well, wait a minute. We caught Kalo a little unawares
here. That's all right. That's all right.
It's going to take a second.
That's all right. That's all right. But Bush is, like, out of his mind.
Let's go. Let's hear it.
Although we have not found stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction.
Yes. No, you haven't.
We were right to go into Iraq.
Why? Did you catch bin Laden?
We removed a declared enemy of America.
Bin Laden?
As opposed to an undeclared enemy.
Who had the capability of producing weapons of mass murder.
Says who?
Yeah, who doesn't?
And could have passed that capability to terrorists bent on acquiring them.
Uh-huh. Like Jose Padilla, maybe?
Oh, my God.
In the world after September the 11th.
Yes.
Liars.
That was a risk we could not afford to take.
Who's we?
The guys right there.
Today, the dictator who caused decades of death and turmoil. Mm. Who twice invaded his neighbors.
Mm-hmm. We funded one of those.
Who harbored terrorist leaders. Who used chemical weapons on innocent men, women, and children.
Oh. He stinks.
Is finally before the bar of justice.
What does he think? He keeps repeating this stuff? Shut up. Shut up. Quick, what is that?
Stop applause. Well, it's Tennessee, man. I mean, not to rank on Tennessee or anything. But
no, we've got some good liberal, democratic, decent people down there in Tennessee. This guy, this president, does he read the papers? No, he doesn't.
No.
Because if he did, he'd know that now Iraq is the most dangerous place in the world. He's completely destabilized the region. Israel doesn't even think the war can be won there. You know, I mean, it's like, it's amazing to me that he could insinuate or state, you know, blatantly that the world is a safer place. He's got leftover insurgents. There are insurgents leaving Iraq because they feel like the insurgents have it covered there to go to Saudi Arabia, to go to Europe. He's created a terrorist, you know, manufacturing situation in Iraq. It's brain bending that this guy. And then on top of that, there's a blanket threat on the United States of America delivered to us by Tom Ridge saying it's going to be bad. We can't raise the alert system because that means nothing. But they're planning something big and bad. And what information? Where if the CIA is so full of it. Where's Bush getting his information that's safer? He's certainly not getting it from the Defense Strategic System, whatever that, what is that called?
I know, the Institute.
Yeah, Strategic, I'm going to get it, because I don't want to sound misinformed, because we read from this a lot. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, from all indications, from the 2003-2004 International Institute of Strategic Studies Strategic Survey, you know, there are thousands more terrorists operating in the world now because of his attack on Iraq. And in Iraq alone, the insurgents, 5,000 there, just Baathists, and there's another 15,000 that are, you know, I mean, it's out of control.
Well, this was a unilateral action on the part of the United States, one that may have American soldiers fighting and dying there for a generation to come, which has produced a major prison scandal, which has produced questions about the erosion of American civil liberties at home and how America treats both its allies and its enemies abroad. And yet, with all of this staring him in the face, he's actually going, well, we were right to get rid of Saddam Hussein. You know, after all, he was a bad guy.
Yeah, he could have given a speech months ago. There's no new news here because he's got nothing. And Cheney sits there and repeats the same thing. There was a connection between al-Qaeda and Iraq. There wasn't. There might have been a lunch at a food court at a mall in Baghdad, but they weren't sitting at the same table. Whatever the case, he's lying. So they're both lying to, you know, to hold on to the one core group of constituents that they have that believe their lies no matter what. In the face of truth, they will believe their lies. And Kerry kicked it. Look, I got to tell you something. I watched Kerry last night for a full 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the dressing room of the John McEnroe show. They had the full feed. We never see this guy for more than a minute or two in sound bites. I watched the whole riff. I watched the whole oratory presentation, and I was moved I squirted out a couple little tears. I squirted them right out of my...
Oh, you did not.
I squirted them right out of my dumb face. A couple little squirty tears came right out of my dumb eyes because he moved me because he delivered a good oration. You know, I used to think that he was slow, that he was like, you know, he would beleaguer things. But you know what? He's got his own groove, and it's an authentic groove, and he's a very deliberate speaker. He's old school, and I think now he's tremendously relieved that he's got this vice presidential candidate, you know, out of the way in terms of making the decision. Everyone likes a decision. He's feeling bolstered. And you know what? He laid it out, and it was beautiful. Do we have any sound bites from that, from Kerry's reaction to the chimp? As one of our bloggers calls him, Chimpy, President Chimpy.
President Chimpy?
Because I've got a quote of Kerry here. I'll read this first. Quote, I have proposed an ambitious and aggressive plan for dramatically reducing the threats from nuclear terrorism. We will greatly accelerate work to secure nuclear materials at risk and invest the time and leadership needed to address the nuclear threats in North Korea and Iran. I will appoint a national director of intelligence so that there is one individual with responsibility and accountability for intelligence operations. And then you like, listen, did you say you had it?
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear it. I just want to hear the tone because I'm into Kerry in a big way right now.
I believe John and I can fight a more thoughtful and more effective war on terror that brings nations to our side and shares the risks and shares the burdens and shares the costs so America doesn't go it alone.
You got to get to know this guy. You know, because
I agree.
And we've been left out of the loop on that because he's not getting enough airtime. You've got to get, you know, into the groove. And I saw Nader on TV, too, last night that he was saying some great stuff. He shut Bob Novak up like nobody I'd seen in a long time. Nice to see that false teeth wearing...
CIA agent exposing.
Yeah. And Bagala, he shut Bagala up, too. Nader was good. You know, and I hope that Kerry is able to, you know, appropriate or accommodate many of the things that Nader is saying as well.
Well, you know, I think on the one hand... I guess maybe you have to watch. Do you have to watch C-SPAN in order to get unexpurgated or uncensored John Kerry?
I don't know. I saw it on a feed, you know, at CNBC. So I mean, and obviously as we get closer to the debates, and you know, certainly after the convention, I think he's probably practicing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's getting his riff together. But I thought he was authentic, and I enjoyed it. You know, and I felt, you know, I finally had that feeling where you know you're looking at a candidate. And, you know, we've been speculating about him. You know, there's been a lot of criticism about him stepping up and, you know, not saying enough or whatever. But I had that moment where I'm like, you know what? I can, you know, not only am I just voting for this guy because he's not Bush, I'm voting for him because he's John Kerry.
Because he's John Kerry, sure. And, you know, here we have Bush saying the world is safer. But on the other hand, you have all of the people around him saying that things are getting worse. Things could get dicey. You know, it's funny. The Democrats and Condoleezza Rice seem to agree on one thing. Neither one of them think that anyone should be talking about postponing the November elections. However, the chair of the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, the Reverend Dr. DeForest Sorey, says that someone should have that authority. But I'm not sure whether someone is actually going to get it. We're going to be talking to him momentarily about that during the course of this hour to find out exactly where he's coming from on this.
That's going to be good. I also promised earlier, there are probably some people still listening, about how I would tell how we're not safer and have some proof of that. So we're going to do that, too, after this break.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I create a film movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
I always want to hear the end of this song. Like, whenever you play this one, I'm always like, let's just listen to that song. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition. This is Air America Radio. It's now time my boy Billy John Joe Bob
Joey
Ramone. Here's the presidential pompa. Here's the schedule for today for the Prez. 8:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Americans are safer than ever. Have Secret Service initiate access sequence of breakfast bunker. 9:30 a.m. Don't speak at NAACP convention. That was easy. 9:55 a.m. Sign H.R. 4103, the AGOA Acceleration Act of 2004. Don't ask, just sign it. It could be important. 11:50 a.m. Depart White House for Michigan. Fly over NAACP convention in Philadelphia. Taunt them from 20,000 feet with Black Power salute. 1:45 p.m. Speak in Marquette, Michigan. Why are the swing states the smelly ones? 3:30 p.m. There might be just enough time to pop over to Philadelphia to speak to the NAACP convention. Nah. 6 p.m. Rally in Duluth, Minnesota. Vote notes for speech. Quote, in the words of your native son, Prince, I knew a girl named Nikki. I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby masturbating with a magazine. Hey, who wrote this? 8 p.m. Fly back to Washington. Campaign speeches 2. Speeches to NAACP 0. 10 p.m. Bedtime. We're safer than ever. Initiate entry sequence to secure sleeping bunker. Say goodnight to guards. So some news has been made about DeForest Soares, who has distributed a letter. He is the chairman of the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, distributed a letter to establish a protocol to suspend elections if necessary.
The event of a massive terrorist attack.
Yes, it's unclear what that means, what the parameters of that protocol would be. There's been some resistance to the suggestion. We got him on the phone right now. So, terrorist. Hello, DeForest Soares. This is Mark Maron and Mark Riley. Welcome to our show.
Good morning, Reverend.
How you doing? Long time no talk to.
Doing fine. How are you?
Good.
What are the procedures or guidelines you want in place before Election Day?
Well, I think we need communications protocol so that when something happens in a state, they know how to inform the federal government. I think the country wants to know that there's some coordination taking place between law enforcement and election officials. And I think we just want to be clear that we can respond to an emergency and that the voters in the country will not be deterred because of chaos. On November 11, 2001, New York experienced chaos not only because they were struck from the outside.
September, yeah.
But they realized that there was no statutory authority resident in any branch of government to suspend voting and to reschedule the election. And so we just want to be prepared.
All right, well, let's say hypothetical. Let's say that the terrorist chatter indicates on Monday, November 1st, that the terrorists planned something. You don't know what it is, but would you suspend elections just in a case like this or only if an actual attack occurs?
I can't imagine any circumstances under which we would postpone an election because of threats.
Okay.
Because that would be giving in to terrorism. It would be a violation of the law. And quite frankly, it would just throw our democracy on its head. However, I think on a very basic level, what you do is prepare for the worst, even if you don't expect the worst to happen. My concern is that on Election Day, if something happens in California, like an earthquake, the whole country should understand what that means relative to voting in Chicago, in New York. And we need to do that in advance so that people will not assume, for instance, that if something happens in California, that they should not go out and vote.
Yeah, but what about just suspending, giving California another day?
By the Constitution, does have great flexibility in determining its own status in rescheduling an election in the case of an emergency. Or worst-case scenario, the Constitution gives states the rights to appoint electors if electors for president are not selected on Election Day. My concern is that we don't have a consensus on what a disaster is. We're not clear on the national standards that we would accept as it relates to that kind of act. And I think what happened in Florida 2000 indicated that there are a variety of views as to when state legislatures, in fact, enforce the power of appointing electors as opposed to not enforcing that power. And I just think that since we know that terrorism increases the possibility of having a crisis event on Election Day, we should be proactive, create a plan, communicate the plan, coordinate the plan so that on Election Day, if we have a crisis situation, if not followed by a chaotic response.
Reverend Soares, you're a very politically savvy guy. I've been talking to you on and off since you were working with Reverend Jackson back in the early 70s. Now, you know that this was going to create a firestorm. You knew that the minute that this letter that you sent to Tom Ridge was released, it would create a political firestorm. You didn't take that into account before you sent it out?
Well, it's not. I wrote Secretary Ridge in April. In June, reporters and election officials and representatives of Congress began calling the Election Assistance Commission, which I chair, asking questions about the eventualities relative to Election Day. And they did that because they had begun hearing about plans being made for Election Day, none of which were specific. And I think, more specifically, the bombing in Madrid caused a global concern about the impact that terror could have on voting. And so I decided that we would engage the Department of Homeland Security, one, because they're responsible for managing our country's response to terrorism, but the department is also responsible for the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And FEMA has the most experience of any federal agency in protocols responding to disasters.
But, you know, the bombing in Madrid didn't have any impact on the voting. The election was not disrupted, and it went without a hitch.
Exactly. But I think the consensus around the country and around the world has been that terrorism is being more and more linked to elections and efforts to undermine the democratic process.
Yeah, but also,
you know, if I tell you to buy a spare tire, I'm not telling you to postpone your trip. The fact is, if something happens on Election Day, there will be media coverage, there will be website coverage, there will be telephone coverage, and what we want is to tell the world that America is prepared to go through an election smoothly, even in the event of a catastrophic event.
Yeah, I understand that. But if the event happens a week before and all of a sudden the people of this country decide that it's an indication that this president is no good with terrorism, they want to change things.
Then that is what democracy is for. And under no circumstances should anyone in this country consider postponing an election because of a threat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, stay with us. We got to come back. It's great to talk to you. We got more questions.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Before we go to break, Reverend Sorries, Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor, seemed to take a position that was very different than yours. Were you surprised by that?
I don't know. I didn't hear what she said. I said that no one in Washington that we know of is discussing the postponement of an election.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not discussing it. I don't think the White House is discussing it. No one in Congress seems to be discussing it. The only people discussing it are the media.
So when we come back, I'd like to talk about your commission was created to address the problems that happened in Florida, and I want to know why you chose to branch out of this when some of those problems haven't been addressed yet.
All right, stay with us. We're going to have more with the Reverend DeForest Sorries, the Presidential Daily Briefing, you on the phones, and the all-important liberal agenda. This is Air America Radio.
Attention Democrats everywhere. These are extraordinary times. The Democratic National Convention is near, Fahrenheit 9/11 is everywhere, and a presidential election is upon us. The political fervor in this country has never been hotter. And now it's time to send your elected leader, George W. Bush, a clear message.
George W., you're fired!
That's right. Now you can own one of the hottest T-shirts in the land and wear your convictions right on the front of your chest. George W., you're fired. Made from 100% heavyweight cotton, all sizes available, simple yet powerful designs. Wear one of these and they'll know right where you stand. Add the bumper stickers to your order and really get the word out.
George W., you're fired!
Visit WYOUREFIRED.com and act now. That's WYOUREFIRED.com and place your order today. The hottest T-shirt in the land is ready and waiting for you at WYOUREFIRED.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. While President Bush continues to tout how his war in Iraq has made America safer, many are questioning this morning the impact of his incursion in Afghanistan in search for Osama bin Laden, since violence continues there. The increasing violence threatens impending elections in Afghanistan, and the search for bin Laden has proven to be fruitless. More violence has been reported in Iraq, where insurgents staged an assault on U.S. patrols in the Iraqi capital of Baghdad. No casualties have been reported, but some Iraqi civilians suffered injuries as a result of several bomb blasts. Former Enron chief Kenneth Kenny Boy Lay told CNN's Larry King Live last night that the media and a political frenzy spurred an investigation of Enron that's after as many scalps as possible. And the Associated Press poll has revealed that President Bush is perceived as more decisive and more arrogant than Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry, but 4 out of 5 Americans polled say Democrat Kerry is more intelligent. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
There's a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we're a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system, originally available only for use by therapists, is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a dating site. It does not use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It is a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients to determine your best match. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you are tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's Theradate.com. For a limited time, it's free to join our totally unique service.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Poldy's lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Poldy's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Poldy's lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Poldy's nasal spray.
Unfiltered.
Coming up on the next Unfiltered. Are you lost in the strategic gimmicks of the ballot brigades? Then you can't afford to miss Unfiltered Election Shenanigans. What hand will the red and blue teams play in the game of campaign hijinkery? Let the Unfiltered Compass guide you through the tomfoolery and the fool tomery. Don't drift through this Bermuda Triangle of ethics alone. Tune in. Unfiltered, only on Air America Radio.
We're back. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. This is morning's edition on Air America Radio. We're talking to the chairman of the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, DeForest Sorries. Sir, before the break, we left. I just want to make sure I'm clear on something. That if there were, God forbid, an attack, say, like 3 days to a week before an election, I mean, what's the time frame on something like this? Because I know you said you would never cancel an election on suspicion, but, you know, if there was, God forbid, an attack in one city in this country 3 days before an election, the election should go forward, yes?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, we've heard National Security Advisor Rice saying, and I'm quoting her here, we've had elections in this country when we were at war, even when we were in civil war, and we should have the elections on time. That's the view of the president. That's the view of the administration. Is there any scenario that you can envision, Reverend, where that would not be the case?
On a state-by-state basis, we have the potential for a catastrophic event. And in that state, if the state should decide to suspend voting, that's the prerogative of the state. It's what happened on September 11th. And when New York decided to suspend voting and postpone New York's election from September 11th and reschedule it for September 25th, it went through a process. It involved the local police department. It involved the local judge. It was not the governor that suspended voting in New York City. It was a local judge. Local judge made the decision for New York City. Then the governor made the decision for the state without having any explicit statutory authority. Then the state legislature rescheduled the date for the primary to September 25th after consulting with the Division of Elections to determine if it was possible. What I am saying is that on November 2nd, we have 55 possibilities of having to go through that process. And to go back to Mark's earlier comment, our commission was set up to be a clearinghouse to disseminate information on federal elections. When elections officials call us, it's our job to offer them voluntary guidance on system standards. We are doing manuals to teach election officials how to use provisional ballots. We're dealing with the National Voter Registration Act. Every day we field calls from election officials. All 8,000 have our number. And it's our job to inform them about best practices, about national standards on issues that relate to elections. And election officials around the country are asking us for information about New York, because if something happens in their state, similar to what happened in New York, they need to know what did New York do, how did New York do it. And what we need to know on November 2nd is the impact that such a decision, for instance, in New York, could have on the presidential election.
All right, well, then under what scenario, in your speculations and thinking this through, that what scenario could you see the entire country having to suspend elections?
Under none.
Really?
Okay.
I see no scenario where the country would suspend elections. What I see is a scenario where a state might, in fact, suspend elections, and therefore it would impact how the country understood the election that day.
Right.
I mean, if you went to bed on November 2nd and realized that one state did not complete voting, would you want us to announce a winner, for instance?
Right.
Or would you want to wait until the results when that state came in?
So you're saying that theoretically a state could be postponed for a day and we would have to wait for that state's results to come in to justify who won?
Not only that, the state may decide, as New York did, to vote again. And if that happens, I think California has a right to know in advance what would happen if New York had to suspend voting. That's all I'm saying. California does not believe that because New York had to suspend voting, that the whole election is up for grabs or California has been disenfranchised. And New Yorkers need to know that if something happens in New York, that they, New Yorkers, will have an opportunity to participate in selecting the President of the United States.
Our guest is the Reverend Dr. DeForest Sorries.
I have never discussed a scenario under which the entire election would be suspended, the entire election would be postponed. We are a a network of 55 states and territories and districts, and each of them have their own election laws. And because our commission is formed, we now have to look from a national perspective on what happens in each state and the impact it could have on the whole country.
Now, Reverend, that would seem to indicate then that the content of your letter to Tom Ridge has been severely misinterpreted by people.
Well, I think it has. The other issue that I raised in my letter is that as we discuss beefing up security at the polling places, while it might be a deterrent to terrorism, it could have the unintended consequences of intimidating voters who historically have been dissuaded from voting because of beefed up security at polling places.
You're talking about black and other voters of color then.
Exactly. And so my concern therefore is that as law enforcement begins thinking about this strategy, that other people, civil rights advocates and others, should be at the table so that when we go into Election Day, there is no question about protecting people's right to vote in spite of our need to protect the polling places from violence.
Okay. Some people are speculating.
That's what I said.
Okay. Some people are speculating that someone in the Bush administration wanted you to raise this issue. Is there any truth in that?
Well, if they did, then why would I write a letter in April and it only be discussed in July? Frankly, the reason this is being discussed now.
Was it true or is it true?
It's not true at all.
All right, so you're just saying they're that disorganized.
Pardon me?
You're just saying that it took this long for someone to get this to the forefront of what the conversation is.
The fact that it took this long, I think, is indicative of how difficult it is for an independent agency like mine that's run by both Democrats and Republicans to get the federal government to begin discussing proactively these kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm. Reverend, why do you think it is? I mean, I know you've talked a lot of times about being underfunded, your agency, the commission, being underfunded. Why don't you think the Bush administration is adequately funding, something that is supposed to help people come out and exercise their franchise?
Well, the Bush administration, through the budget process, put in full funding for our commission, and it was actually the Congress that cut the president's budget down to where we are today. But
they're all Republicans, aren't they?
But you said the Bush administration.
So
all I'm saying is that we now have a bipartisan consensus that the funding strategy was inadequate for this year, and we expect to get full funding to do both operations and research for the next fiscal year.
Reverend Soares, can you stay with us for one more break?
I've got to be in court at 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well,
we appreciate the time.
But I'll come back. And listen, Mark and keep up the good work. And thank you for the opportunity to clarify what has been spun completely out of control and therefore has caused people to miss the point. And I think you were very coherent and very fair in helping us drive the point home. The point is that we should be prepared for catastrophic events that happen on Election Day, and it's not limited to terrorism. It could be an earthquake, it could be a fire, it could be a storm, a hurricane. And if that happens, we want to be able, as a country, to be prepared and communicate and coordinate a response so that nothing deters us from administering an election.
Understood.
All right.
Horace Soares, thank you very much. He is the U.S. Election Assistance Commission Chairman. Thank you for joining us.
Talk to you again soon. You take care.
What do you think? 866-303-2270. We didn't get to some stuff. We didn't get to voting machines. You didn't have time. But, you know, this is a hot topic. I want to hear some input from you people. That's 866-303-2270.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Hey, we're back. We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey!
You're listening to Morning Sedition. We were just talking to DeForest Sorries.
Now, let's be clear about what he said. He said that essentially he doesn't want to do the postponement thing. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but there's a lot of speculation as to, you know, what would happen if one state or was this one. We'll talk about it. It's, you know, there's some heavy implications. Now it's time to look at the presidential daily briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled Effectiveness of Color. Effectiveness of Color Terror Chart Fading. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that the General Accounting Office has blasted our highly scientific color-coded terror chart as too vague and confusing to help many local law enforcement officials to prepare for a terrorist attack. The public may begin to ignore our warnings and could develop what we call threat fatigue. It's difficult keeping an entire nation in a constant state of fear, but since fear is your only remaining selling point at this stage, we have to do something. We need threat warnings that are, frankly, more threatening. Color isn't enough. Perhaps an auditory element should be added. The lowest threat level could be a Family Feud wrong answer buzzer. Mid-level, mid-level terror. Maybe a nice scream from... yeah, that could go... Or there's a really good one halfway through Halloween, too. For the highest terror level, we could use that note Minnie Riperton hits on Loving You. And needless to say, this would only be used during a nuclear exchange. If this proves insufficient, we have some interesting ideas on smells. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
Can you hit that note?
No. So obviously, you know, what Reverend Sorries is saying is that if it doesn't, there is no case where the entire national election would be postponed. But on a state-to-state level, if there is an emergency situation that can be defined by how they decide it is defined, they can suspend that state election for however long it takes to regroup. Now, this could become a real problem because this could become manipulated, you know, by the federal government in the case, you know, what if it's one state? What if there's a one-state difference in the electoral vote? I mean, you know, there's a lot of scenarios that open the door to tampering. That on top of the Diebold voting machines, I mean, it's almost in some levels you think, like, well, maybe it's just pointless to have an election because it's so easily rigged.
Well, yeah, and has been historically. But, you know, the thing that I find interesting is that he kept citing what happened in New York in 2001. And what happened in New York in 2001 was that, of course, the Trade Center attacks took place on the day of the New York City mayoral primary. And, yeah, there were a lot of procedures involved.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact is that it was pushed back till the 25th. People went out, voted on the 25th. There was a runoff election after that. And the general election took place in November just like normal.
Right.
Matter of fact, it's the election that brought in Michael Bloomberg. So I don't see what the problem was that, you know, warranted an entire procedural, structural look at how you deal with all this on a statewide level. Nationally, if you want to look at nationally, that's different. But statewide, New York did it okay.
Yeah, yeah, but again, the national level is different, and I guess the commission, I know the commission was put together to address some of the problems that happened in Florida, and, you know, he has been a proponent of these, you know, of these Diebold voting machines because of the ideas that we need to take the next step. Obviously, the Chads and the paper ballots are difficult, and they have a lot of problems, so we need these new machines. Now, these new machines don't have paper trails, and right now, there's a lawsuit. Critics of electronic voting are suing Diebold under a whistleblower law alleging that the company's shoddy balloting equipment exposed California elections to hackers and software bugs. And there's more ways you can take action. If you go to blackboxvoting.org and find out what you need to do, you know, in your state or in your district to raise awareness of this, call us at 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. Joanne in Brooklyn, how are you?
Hey, thanks. I don't believe one word of that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a chance that this Dr. Soares may have been sincere. However, just like with this, you know, vote to go to Iraq, once given the power, I think that this Bush administration would take it to the ultimate. I just don't trust them.
That's everyone's fear. Thank you, Joanne. You know,
the slippery slope thing.
But that's so interesting to me, and every day it's more interesting just how many people innately distrust this president, that, you know, that most people, thinking people, certainly progressives, liberals, and most Democrats, suspect this president of being up to no good and being capable of the most insidious type of evil acts against the democracy, against the people of America. It's mind-blowing to me.
Well, you know, that's the thing that's mind-blowing about talking to DeForest Soares about this, because I've known him for a long time, talked to him for years, and I know him to be a man of no small integrity. He's done an awful lot in New Jersey. He was a former Secretary of State, first African-American Secretary of State. He's got a track record here. And, you know, he's working for the Bush administration, and here's a trustworthy guy working for an administration that, quite frankly, I do not trust. So you get conflicted. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about a good man working for a bunch of bad people. How do you reconcile
that? I know. Where you go with that?
You say, hey, you know, he is a good person.
Right.
They are not.
Right.
I mean, you can't. I'm sorry. I cannot bring myself to say George W. Bush and this cabal that we have in Washington are good, a bunch of good people. I can't say that in good conscience.
Absolutely not. Wayne in Tennessee, quickly.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much.
I think I agree with him. I think I spent 22 years in the military, and you couldn't do, even down at the lowest level, you can't do anything without planning. You got to have a plan. And just because this guy works for George Bush, it doesn't mean, I mean, works for the commission, doesn't mean he can't come up with a good idea. What we do is that when people come up with good ideas because they are involved in this crazy administration, that we say, oh, well, that idea can't work. I think it will work. I think it's a good idea to just put it together. And anything that people come up with as a way to get around it or a way to use it for bad deals.
Right.
You're rushing me here, so I think it's a good idea. I really do.
I understand what you're saying. Is he saying that, you know, just because, you know, there's bad, you know, ideologies out there doesn't mean that this can't be a good idea?
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. Thanks for calling, Wayne. We'll be back with your calls, 866-303-2270. After this break, you're listening to Air America.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
Students and graduates, listen up. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. That's right, more than half with the federal government's free student loan consolidation program available from NextStudent. Every day, thousands take advantage of this money-saving program, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments by more than half. Call 1-800-430-NEXT, and NextStudent will help you refinance your college loans and lock in on historically low federal interest rates. Right now, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. Take advantage of this free program. It's easy to apply. There's no credit check, no out-of-pocket expenses, and in as little as 5 minutes, you can find out if you're eligible for this money-saving program. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. Take advantage of this program, and you'll have loads of extra cash in your pocket. Call 1-800-430-NEXT. It's easy, it's quick, and it's free. But you gotta act now. Call NextStudent today at 1-800-430-NEXT. That's 1-800-430-NEXT.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600. Or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Hey, it's Tuesday morning. I'm Mark Maron. This is Mark Riley. It's been quite an exciting show. You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. We're here every day for your listening and educational
and pleasure.
Yes. I promised, you know, to address the statement by our president, the incredibly, you know, denial-ridden statement that the country is safer. We were going to try and, you know, give you a little sampling of how we're not safer, you know, on the hour at least. And I didn't make it happen for you. And if you were waiting for that, I don't mean to disappoint you. But I promise you, tomorrow we will go over it because I've got a big bunch of facts here that were researched. We're talking about, you know, nuclear materials that are out in the world. We're talking about, you know, how air travel isn't safe. It hasn't gotten any better. We're talking about the ports. Certainly the ports, big issue for Kerry and talking about how, you know, all these containers. I mean, geez, I just flew, you know, when I flew back into New York, you fly over where the port of, what is it?
Port Newark.
And it's just like, how could, there's just parking lots filled with
container land.
It's like an entire world of containers. And I just think in one of them, you know, like there's something just sitting there with a tick-tock, you know, but that's my own fear.
You know who's been on top of that?
Who?
Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, has been talking about this for ages.
Charlie Schumer?
No, not Charlie, Chuck.
Yeah? Chuck Schumer?
Chuck Schumer.
Is his name Charles?
Charles Schumer.
Yeah, there you go.
But they don't call him Charlie.
I would never call him Charlie except when I was just saying that to you, but outside of that, never. Rosalind in Kansas City, how are you, Rosalind?
Hi, Rosalind.
Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
What's up?
Just a quick comment on the election. Okay. Thank God you guys are finally trying to shoot down the trial balloon. This canceling of elections is a trial balloon. The fact that the Reverend is a good man and he put out a memo months ago and the balloon's only going up now says everything. And I was shocked yesterday that Air America didn't take shots at that balloon. Thank God you guys are doing it now. Just real quick before you go, this came up in 1864.
Okay.
Abraham Lincoln was urged to suspend the election of 1864, and his response was, "The election is a necessity. We cannot have a free government without elections. And if the rebellion could force us to forego or postpone a national election, it might fairly claim to have already conquered us."
Right. Beautiful.
And that was an election, by the way, that Lincoln thought he was going to lose.
Uh-huh.
Think about that for a minute.
Well, she's absolutely right. I mean, this is an important issue. I'm glad we had him on. I think we were one of the first people to have him on in the media. Yeah. And, you know, quickly, Glenn, do you got anything, Glenn, quick?
Hey. Yeah, I do.
What?
I just want to go on the record and let everybody else know that should the election be postponed, I am taking off from work on Election Day, and I will be happy to personally lead a march on Washington.
Okay, good. We'll hold you to that.
All right. Thank you very much, Glenn. Definitely.
What an exciting show.
It's fun.
Yeah, I'm glad we did that. And again, I will tomorrow. We're going to take some time and, you know, bit by bit, go over just why George Bush is wrong. And we will obviously talk about this postponement of elections possibilities a bit more throughout the week. That, of course, is the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get your pencils and your notebooks. Here we go. One. Have the word God removed from the titles of the George Burns trilogy. Oh God, Book Two, and Oh God, You Devil. Two, throw an I Ching to decide between aligning chakras or adjusting feng shui in your office. Three, organize a group to perform meticulous reenactments of the year 1968, right down to the clothes, drugs, riots, and assassinations. Four, declare that your molars are off limits for any future drilling. Five, phrase for the day, just drop it in the conversation no matter what people are discussing. Quote, of course you would never know that if you only listened to Fox News.
There you go.
Have a good Tuesday, people.
Absolutely. What do you got, Riley? Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, author and columnist Joe Klein joins us. Plus, your good friend and mine, Mark Crispin Miller, returns to the show to deconstruct the president's latest fear-mongering. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. See ya.